And we have enough people for a quorum, so we're good to go. So you said on the roll call, Patrick?
Yeah.
Okay. A new commission member introduction. Well, we almost have a new member. Close. Appointment of a new member, Christopher Cahill, was introduced at the council meeting last night. So it's scheduled for next Tuesday. I believe that it's 1 week for the next council meeting. So hopefully that will be approved and we'll have another member. And I think the mayor's working on another appointment, correct?
Correct, yep.
Okay.
So Chris Mackay, joint member on both TC and TPPB.
Mm-hmm. So he'll be replacing Ash in that joint member role. Okay, everybody have an opportunity to look at the minutes.
Move approval.
There's a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Any public comment on topics not on the agenda? No registrations up here, anything? Okay. All right. Any disclosures or recusals? No? Okay. We do have a pretty full agenda tonight, so we'll try and be real organized in how we approach this. Sabrina, the parking report?
Okay, so the first quarter 2019, taking a look at overall revenues here, we're up 2% compared with the same period in 2018. However, most of that is due to the additional revenue from the South Livingston Street Garage. So overall, we are down when comparing our other facilities compared with 2018 for this first quarter. In terms of when you're taking a look at 2018 versus 2019, you'll notice some rather significant changes and decreases in occupancy as well as revenue. When we took a closer look through here and kind of go month by month, you'll see January, February, and March. Those are the occupancies, not cumulative, but just the individual occupancies for those months. So you'll see that those are increasing from January through March. Likewise, starting in January, some significant decreases overall in revenue compared to the prior year. Also February, and as we reach March, those are starting to level off a little bit more. Primarily that's due to the significant weather events that we had. We had a number of days that schools and downtown offices were closed, as well as snow emergency dates. And on those dates, it's free overnight parking in garages. So January and early February, we saw some pretty significant impacts due to those. And, you know, we're expecting the revenues and occupancies will level off here as we go forward. In terms of revenue by category, this is just an overview and consistent from what we see historically, with garages making up the largest component of revenue, about 60%. And then next followed by monthly and long-term leases at 18.8%, and then on-street meters.
Sabrina?
Yes.
The purple and the blue are all at the garages, right? All of our leases are at the garages?
That's correct.
So in reality, it's close to 80% of our revenue is out of garages.
Correct. There's a small fraction that would be some of our surface lots that we have permits, but that's a very small fraction in terms of revenue. This is just a breakdown overall year to date of total revenue and percentage. So you'll see State Street campus makes up the largest percentage, and with the as the largest garage comprised actually of two separate garages, that's would be expected. Followed by the State Street Capitol Garage, the South Livingston Street Garage, in terms of year to date, saw pretty low activity as it was just kind of getting started. I know a number of the folks are still getting moved in, so we'll anticipate those numbers for occupancy increasing as users come online and get moved into those developments. But as of March of this year, it was at 35% occupancy. In terms of expenses, we're below budget in terms of first quarter. We're at 16% of total budget. There's a breakdown there by salaries, benefits, supplies, with salaries and benefits making up the largest portion of our expenses. In terms of comparing kind of year to date, when you're looking at that comparison of the 2019 versus 2018, it's hard to draw really any significant analysis from those because there's differences in timing of when those payments hits with various services, when we get invoiced and when those get paid. And even in payroll timings, you may see some significant differences, you know, from a snapshot, but overall, there has not been a significant change in our budget from the prior year.
Is there a, you don't probably have on hand the numbers for like March year-to-date budget instead of a whole instead of 2019 budget?
So these are the actuals year-to-date, that first column.
Right, but this I guess normally I would be expecting to see in the second column then a March year-to-date.
Oh, sure, the budget snapshot.
I mean, it's like what is 16% of the annual budget?
Sure.
Like, so we would expect to be at a quarter of the budget, maybe?
Right. Yep, we'd be expecting at the, you know, with the first quarter as of the end of March to be at 25% of what's budgeted. Again, a lot of times those expenses don't hit till later in the year. So with services, for instance, you know, we may be at 5% in the first quarter and then 55% after the second quarter. So it isn't necessarily linear in terms of month by month.
Do you have a budget that is month by month to reflect those kind of seasonal differences?
I believe we do have the budget estimates, and there may be something in the packet I can take a look. But again, a lot of it is we have total dollar amounts that we know for various projects in our annual maintenance projects. But in terms of when exactly we're going to get invoiced or even when that work for a particular garage will start, we don't always know. It can depend on the contractor schedule and other factors, as well as when we receive those invoices.
It appears to me that we have the budget and actual year-to-date for revenue, but I don't think it's in here for expenses. I might be wrong about that.
Sure, we can take a look at that.
Yeah.
For year-to-date? Or for
as sort of a monthly budget,
yeah.
Right? I don't believe that is in your packet, but we can take a look at providing that in future ones. Mm-hmm. Just a couple quick updates. The installation of our single space smart meters was completed May 13th, so we have now replaced all of our coin only meters on street. So all of them currently take a credit card, and then the multi-space also take mobile payment. And we'll be working on doing probably an integration with our existing vendor for adding that mobile payment to those single-space smart meters here. And then last, the State Street Campus Francis Lighting Project. There was a change order for about $11,000 to do some additional lighting, adding a few additional fixtures. The Board of Public Works had requested that that change order just come as an informational item. I believe also to highlight some of the lower levels of lighting than we would like. So what was done in the project wasn't up to the higher level of lighting. It does meet the minimum requirements for adding this additional lighting, and we'll take a look once we've got this additional lighting in and see if at some point we're going to want to add additional fixtures in there in a future project. Other than that, I'm available for any questions.
Just out of curiosity, it's not on what you presented here. Mm-hmm. When the new underground parking at Judge Doyle Square, is that going to be ready before, or is that going to be operable before everything gets built on top of it so they can build while that gets used?
Yes. Our understanding is once we've got the two levels above grade of that podium parking, that we'll be able to occupy the below grade parking garage, the public parking garage, once it's ready to go.
What's your guesstimate as far as when that opens and when the old Government East starts shutting down?
So we're looking at late August for occupancy on the new garage and starting demolition potentially at the end of this year on the existing Government East garage.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Ken, maybe we should ask for a Judge Doyle Square update in sometime in the next couple meetings because we haven't had one for a while.
Yeah, no, I'm getting eager to park there.
Other comments? We'll need a motion to accept the report.
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. We're just going to have a quick metro update, Serena, and then we'll be on to your the resolution that relates to parking next after that. So Chuck or Drew, who's going to do the... We have a clarification here on Route 29.
Yeah, we left a couple of loose ends at the last time, at the last meeting, so I wanted to make sure everybody was up to speed on what's happening with Route 29 now. Does everybody know who I am, by the way? Just want to make sure.
Hmm? Back. People at home might not.
Okay. That's good.
That's right. They might be watching on TV.
Yeah, Drew Beck, planning and scheduling manager at Metro. So the property owner at the Northside Town Center did contact us and say we're good for another year in the park and ride lot. So the north side of Route 29 isn't going to change. That'll remain the same for at least another year. What we're continuing to propose, however, is to remove Route 29 from what we call Lower State Street, anything west of Gorham Street, between Gorham and Lake. We've been asked relatively recently, you know, what would it take to remove some or all routes from State Street, and so this is kind of like a little pilot to take it off the lower part of State Street. And there's also concerns operationally with trying to get through that intersection of State and Lake, it can be kind of a challenge. Mm-hmm. So we think it's a good change. So
Drew, was this part of the proposal that we saw the last time?
It was.
Procedurally, we can do this?
Yeah. What we approved last time basically said that, it said if the easement is continued, the current route would remain. And really the intention was for part of it to still change.
I understand.
So, so I didn't quite understand that. So what we approved wasn't really clear.
No, I understand now.
Yeah. Gary?
Off the top of your head, do you know how many routes use the lower part of State Street?
Just three. Two of them are core routes, 4 and 6.
Six.
Run all day, every day. And then the 29 is only a commuter route on weekdays.
Okay.
So it's a pretty minimal.
For some reason, I thought there would be more. But.
Yeah.
One time there was. But.
Yeah. Okay.
So we need a motion to approve this change.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, item G2. Bill, thanks.
Hello, Bill Putnam, City Parking Utility Engineer. Speaking on resolution for a three-year contract for engineering services. And this is primarily inspection, develop plans and specifications, contract administration for our annual parking garage repair contracts, as well as maintenance of our lots and other facilities. This was done through a competitive process. We issued an RFP and had a pretty good response from consultants. And I think this is probably the fourth or fifth three-year contract that we've done. It's been really helpful for us to kind of keep on top of maintenance of our facilities. We have a lot of quite aging garages that require a lot of maintenance. And if it's deferred very long, the amount of maintenance required increases substantially. So this is a continuation of a program we've been doing since the mid-2000s.
Bill, is this the same contractor that this time, Grafe?
No, Grafe, this is a new consultant that would be doing this contract. We've had a couple in the past, JSD and ANO. Grafe did do the design and construction administration for the new South Livingston Street garage. And it was in part thanks to the work we did with them that we had a favorable opinion of their proposal and their work. We were, with our last contractor, we had some issues, like the Francis Lighting project didn't turn out as we'd expected, and that was not, that experience kind of led us to, be open to someone else. And again, we were really impressed by Grace's work on the South Livingston garage design and construction administration, and they had a real strong proposal.
I move that we accept this proposal.
There's a motion.
Second.
And a second. And another second. Okay. Any discussion?
Can I just get a clarification? So the work that Grafe does and your kind of consulting engineers, is it sort of on call, or is there a, do you have a, like a rolling schedule for inspection, or how does that work?
The contract is actually two parts. One is a defined scope of inspections, developing plans for issuing contracts, repair contracts, and then administering those repair work. That's what's defined in the dollar amount. Then there's additional work as needed based on a rate schedule that's in the contract. And that's for things that come up. We have sometimes vehicles that will do damage to the garage, either a car fire or someone presses the accelerator rather than the brake. And then we want to make sure that we're making the appropriate repairs to the structure so that it's sound and safe.
Okay, great, thank you.
Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, next, item G3. I have a little bit of a summary on this one because it's a little bit different. We have two resolutions that we've been talking about with regard to South Broome Street and the 300 block of West Wilson. The first original resolution, 55447, the interim recommendation for South Broome and 300 block of West Wilson, contingent on that successful pilot, was something that we took up back on April 24th. And we recommended that. We were asked to look at the geometry for for those blocks, and we recommended moving that forward. It went to Board of Public Works and then was at the council last evening. At the council meeting last night, it was referred to the Transportation Policy and Planning Board because it's actually part of the corridor study. And in discussions with Tom Wilson and other folks, likely that resolution will come back to the Transportation Commission at our July 10th meeting, because the Policy Board is meeting on July 1st. So that resolution is actually still open at this point. Plans and specs were being worked on by traffic engineering. Another file, 55930, which is the one that was referred to us this evening from the Board of Public Works, relates to the plan specs, schedule of assessments, and what is viewed as some changes, you know, some viewed as minor changes in the geometric design. So it was referred back to us to take a look at that. Talked with John Strange, he should be here shortly. And what's within the jurisdiction of the Transportation Commission is really the geometric design or the geometry, and that's really all we would be looking at and acting on. However, that being said, since the original resolution was referred to the Policy Board and is still open and will likely come back to us, I think that it might make sense to refer this particular resolution to our future meeting, likely the July 10th meeting, when we'd be talking about the other resolution as well. Because, and traffic engineering can help me out here, I don't think it makes sense for us to look at this revised geometry when the original recommendation in geometry is still being discussed. So it's kind of complicated, and I wanted to just sort of lay out what I know. So help me out here.
Yeah, so we have a Gretchen here, kind of you know, trying to go through some of the changes in the geometric design. Again, you know, some people think it's a big change. Some people think it's minor changes, but just to point out some of the differences from the geometry that was approved by this body a few weeks ago.
So this is the original one that we recommended for Broome Street, and the changes are, here we go. On the southeast corner of Broome and Wilson, that would be a channelized right turn to clear the queues for the left-turning vehicles off of John Nolan. Instead of having two northbound lanes between Wilson and Doty, we will only have one.
So the item in front of us that you just kind of gave the summary for?
Yes.
I mean, this is actually the other item that's not before us. This is the corridor study, and you're talking about, I don't know if John's here, but I think we should either just refer this now or work off the materials of 55930, because I mean, in my mind, this is sort of this is the corridor interim recommendation update. Right?
This actually would be both. So Gretchen has pointed out the difference from what was approved by TC with the file 55447, and also between the item on agenda today, that's 55930. She kind of pointed out some of the changes. We can take two priorities. We can totally refer this to a future meeting, which is fine. Or we can also, you know, just point out the difference for now so you can think about it.
Yeah.
Also, since I already spoke to Assistant City Attorney John Strange, he will be here anyways. What do you think?
Well, I guess the question in my mind is, if this is going to the Policy Board, and Tom Wilson from the Transportation Policy and Planning Board is here as well, if there are changes made in the interim recommendation, then that would likely spill over to some additional changes, and we'd be back to talking about it again. Tom, what are your thoughts?
Tom.
So, and you're welcome to join us if you'd like, Tom.
I actually came here so that I could get another cookie.
Well, I brought cookies because it's a pretty long agenda, so help yourself, everybody.
So it was really our impression that up until about 4:15 today that this would be referred and we talk about it at the next time.
Okay.
But we did, when we were told that, no, you still wanted a briefing, we said, all right, well, we could provide a briefing. It was my understanding that, if I recollect correctly, that the the resolution that was passed was a little bit, it provided some wiggle room. I think it was that I think it was based on successful results from the pilot traffic study, which we did do. We could make modifications that either reduce impact, mostly reduce impacts, I think it was, mm-hmm. particularly trees. I think Alder Vivier was at that point very concerned about trees, and so if there were ways for us to do that, he wanted to preserve that option. So what Gretchen has is it's almost more of a schematic summary of what was changed, but I'm up until 4:15 today, we were planning on not presenting anything. So.
Okay. Well, I was assuming that we wouldn't spend as much time this evening because I thought we'd be talking about it again.
Yeah, and this actually, if you wanted to schedule that, 4:30 or 5, this would be a great time to talk about, you know, if we are going to have a joint TPPB and TC meeting,
right.
There will be some business for TC to do before the joint meeting. And if you wanted to schedule when that would occur at 4:30 or at 5, and then TPPB would be pushed back,
mm-hmm.
That would be fine too. So I'm going to – I came up for here.
Came up
got
for
what I want.
Okay.
I would add that actually well, I agree that it must be best for the – the body to defer, to refer this item to a future meeting, probably the July 10th meeting. However, I think, you know, from our conversation with John Strange, with the attorney's office, he pointed out there's another option for the body, which is look at the changes and just act on this item in front of us as well. If it's the body's will, not to refer it, rather than view the changes and act on it. That's fine too.
Yeah.
So those are the different options.
Yeah.
Grant.
Thanks. So part of why I'm just calling it out is, and you kind of mentioned in your summary, Anne, that so that item that was before us that went to Common Council is now referred to TPPB,
mm-hmm.
And this would be probably good to clarify. But my understanding is that won't get referred back here. Part of why it is referred to TPPB is that it probably shouldn't have ever come to this body in the first place. It was an interim study recommendation, which really belongs with the Policy and Planning Board. And that's maybe, you know, something that we just need to clarify outside of this meeting. But I think part of the reason that I'm saying maybe we shouldn't dive into this conversation right now is because the item on our agenda is we would normally have engineering showing the actual plan specs and schedule assessments, and I think that is different than this item here. And so my recommendation would be we would just move to refer this now, let TPPB receive the item that was referred to them, and then what we'll actually be dealing with, as I understand it, on July 10th is this item on our agenda, which is not this. It's not the interim recommendations. It's the actual plan specs and schedule assessments for the actual project. And I think that differentiation is really important for us to understand as a body, as opposed to the study work for TPPB.
So my understanding, and I read all 49 pages again of the interim recommendation, and the resolution, I'll read it, says, the city's Department of Transportation has authored an interim recommendation report that provides recommendations for the geometry for the 300 block of West Wilson Street and the first three blocks of Broome Street. And the wiggle room that Tom was talking about indicated, be it further resolved, that city engineering pursues small design modifications that preserves trees or minimize impacts. So as we had our original presentation, because the geometric design and the geometry is what this body has jurisdiction over. That was the piece of this interim study that was referred here. And you know, Tom and I were talking, Tom Wilson and I were talking earlier, that there are pieces of this that are more corridor study related, and that wasn't really within our jurisdiction for us to discuss. So we acted on this, and we accepted and recommended what was presented to us with regard to the geometry back on April 24th. But there's been some discussion that there were some changes, and that was why my understanding, again, that the plans and specs that were presented at the Board of Public Works were referred back to us so that we, hey, John, we've thrown your name around a few times already, so join us at the table if you would. So my understanding is that that resolution was referred back to us so that, and again, in conversations with John, the geometric design is really all that's within the jurisdiction of this body, not the assessments, you know, not the plans and specs themselves. So I'm happy for us to talk about it today. It's possible it may come back to us again on the 10th if there are some changes as a result. So, yes, Grant.
Yeah, so I think it seems like maybe we're talking about two different things when we're talking about geometry. So as I hear you talking about geometry as in what was in the interim recommendations, and then there is geometry in terms of the actual detailed design. That's the item that's on our agenda that we would get a different presentation from engineering with actual final geometry. And so I think that's perhaps the difference of where we're both saying geometry, but this kind of geometry, like a yellow arrow, like general idea, hey, we're going to have a channelized right turn, is very different from geometry that is the actual plans and the actual final geometry that again, and I don't know if anybody from engineering is actually here with that. I mean, if
well, you look
up on the screen, you'd probably see kind of how different the two items are.
Yeah. Well, there were a lot of attachments in the back that had a lot of details, and you know, the ordinance talks about geometric design, and you know, I'm not an engineer by trade. So perhaps Yang, Tom, and others can help in that regard.
Four slides long. And so and the next slide has some of the geometry that you're talking about. So I probably, if you just saw the next two slides, then you could just decide to drop it. But it does talk a little. We did not intend to talk in detail about the geometry. This was a 2,000 feet picture of what the broad things that changed. And so oftentimes when we do that, we use schematics to kind of illustrate, and then we'll just show you a picture of it. So that would be, it's not a large presentation
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, it's very quick. Okay.
We put it together from a 4:15 to 4:30.
Okay.
I would expect 25 slides from your team, Tom.
Go ahead, Gretchen.
Okay. So, southeast corner of Broome and Wilson, channelized right turn between Wilson and Doty, we would, instead of having two northbound lanes, we would have one, and this allows the design to preserve the trees on that block and to fully separate bike and pedestrian traffic. And between Doty and Main, it'll stay generally the same. Two-way cycle track on street and the floating bus stop, which we moved south a little bit. So this is what was shown on the recommendation, and it says a northbound right turn without the channelized right turn, but there also indicates that there's a node for an alternate treatment that could consist of installing a tabletop pedestrian crossing within the channelized right turn lane. And this is how it would look like. The 10-foot wide shared use path, it would separate here to save this tree right here, and then the raised pedestrian crossing for that channelized right turn. And then continuing up, separate facilities for pedestrians and bikes. Only one northbound lane. This is how the bus stop would look like north of Doty. And just a picture of, I'm not sure where this is, but it'll be very similar to this. And in the 300 block of West Wilson, We had planned to take 3 extra feet from the terrace on the south side, but forestry took a look at the trees, and there are the majority of the trees on the north side of Wilson are going to get removed. So instead of taking those 3 feet from the south, we're going to be taking it from the north side to be able to save this tree right here. And that's it.
Okay, Bridget.
So I know you guys are still doing the study to see how those potential changes may affect traffic flow. Do you know when that's going to be completed?
Did you complete your pilot?
That's a good question, yeah. So we actually already, so initially at a public information meeting, we said we're going to do the pilot for 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
So we're well beyond that. So from those 2 or 3 weeks, things look pretty good.
Okay.
And we're saying, since things look good, let's keep the traffic control there a little bit longer to see if, just to confirm, it's going to still be good. And so far, it is still good. So we can pull out the traffic control anytime, but we can decide to leave it longer as well, just in case things come up that we didn't expect.
I did observe that traffic backed up onto what would be, like, I guess, westbound John Nolan. Is that acceptable?
So Gretchen actually did more observation on that, and I'll ask her to share more information on that.
Mm-hmm. That westbound John Nolan?
Yeah.
On John Nolan, traffic on...
Yeah, like I guess it would be kind of southwestbound John Nolan towards the Beltline. So traffic backed up a couple times. Right. Yeah, to make the... So you have to... So if you're making... If you're coming off of John Nolan from the terrace, and you're turning right onto Broom, and then you're turning right onto Wilson. A couple times, it's backed up into John Nolan and backed up traffic on John Nolan.
Left onto Broom and right, sorry. Yeah. Left onto Broom and right onto Wilson?
Yeah, so I did hear some reports on that
right
from
and
staff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that okay? I mean, it didn't seem to really cause any problems, but I didn't know.
Right. So we feel like, that's definitely likely for traffic operation. But we feel like it's acceptable,
okay,
considering the positive impacts that we have by doing this. Again, Gretchen may have more details on that.
Yeah, we have a camera there, so we can see the traffic. And in the morning, it may back up that right turn onto Broom. Mm-hmm. It may back up for like 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, and then it'll clear and it'll be working perfectly. We coordinated the signals at Broom and Wilson and Broom and Doty for the left turns off of John Nolan, so they just basically keep going. So it's pretty good.
Ken.
So let's just back. So do you watch cameras and have an override on traffic signals to depending on traffic situations?
You can do that, yes.
Okay. That's what I thought you said. Otherwise, why have a camera just to watch people be miserable? Yeah. So okay.
No, it's more for action. Yeah.
Okay.
We see something, we do timing changes to help.
Yep.
And we use that use them very frequently. A good example is the flooding last year.
Yeah.
We did a lot of timing change when we close and open streets, so that really make difference.
Gary.
The trees that we're saving, I assume these are healthy trees that city forestry has looked at, so we're not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I assume that. But
yeah, they went through the whole project area, and the ones that are going to be removed, we already know which ones those
okay.
are. So we're not trying to save a tree that's going to get removed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So now that we have those 8 slides, not 4. Do we have to do anything more tonight on this other than refer it?
That's up to us to decide. If we're comfortable with the changes from what we saw before to what we're seeing tonight, we can say yes and recommend it back. Or we can say we prefer to wait and see what the – because the original resolution –
So I move that we take no action on this tonight. And we wait to see if there's something that needs to come back to us for our possible change of mind.
Okay, so you're suggesting we refer this to our next, to the meeting on July 10th?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there a second? Did you say second, Grant? Okay, there's a motion and a second that we refer this item and wait to hear back from the policy board discussion on that.
Should Grant? We ask John to give him our guidance? You know, some of the questions that we discussed before, like, you know, what's our responsibility in this? And just because since John is here, you know, this question may come up again at June 10th. Mm-hmm. So is that okay,
sure.
Okay.
So what's the question? What's the purview of the commission?
The commission has some discussions about, you know, what's our jurisdiction in this, for this commission. You know, we'll talk about exactly what's approved in the previous file that with a number of 55447 that's adopting the interim recommendations for South Portland Street. And there's some concerns that saying that the resolution should never come to our body, should go to TPPB instead. And also there's some comments about, you know, for the file 55930 that we should look at, you know, more detailed plans. I think, you know, that means more detailed geometrics, but also may, I may be wrong this, but her reference to specs and assessment districts. So can you clarify that, you know, for both, maybe both files, that what's TC's responsibility?
I'm just going to throw something out there, and that what it may come down to, John, is what Grant was saying earlier, and that is different people's interpretation of what is geometric design or what is considered geometry.
Yeah that's part of it, too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the ordinance specifically says that the Transportation Commission is to look at issues of geometry. The ordinance does not define what geometry is, and I don't know personally what geometry is when it comes to street design, and I would say that there's no indication that it's limited to a specific kind of street geometry. It's just street geometric, so that's a pretty broad net. I don't know the details about what all kinds of geometry is involved here, but if this is a specific project that's going on now, near in the future, then that's something that falls within the commission's wheelhouse to do on geometry. As the ordinances were being written, there was discussion about timing and just making sure that the commission had an opportunity to weigh in before the bidding process was so far gone that we wouldn't be able to reopen the we'd have to reopen the bidding because of the geometry changed. But my understanding is we're not to that point yet. So as long as it's a issue involving street geometry for a specific project, I think it's a commission issue. And unless we revise the ordinance to define geometry, it's a pretty broad net.
Yeah. And I would like to just follow up with a question Patrick and I were discussing. In terms of referring this item, we may or may not have another meeting in June. I think that's, you know, the 26th. It depends on what other items we have. Can we refer an item specifically to the July 10th meeting, even if we have another meeting in between?
Yeah. You just have to specify. Yeah.
I thought we could, but Patrick wanted me to confirm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so at this point, we have a motion to refer this item G3. Whoops. Grant, sorry.
Thank you. I think there's a broad and big conversation that hopefully we have at our joint meeting. The point that I want to make about what we're discussing right now and the reason that the previous item from a previous meeting was referred by the Common Council to the Transportation Policy and Planning Board is because it was an interim study report with interim recommendations. And I believe Tom, and you can speak for yourself, agrees that does belong with the Transportation Policy and Planning Board. And so the fact that it came here, and while it had a geometric component to it, and while we took action on it, I believe that the intent and the design of the Transportation Policy and Planning Board versus the Transportation Commission is that the Policy and Planning Board deals with questions of plans and policy, and the corridor study, I think there is agreement, is a plan, and that it would have been more appropriate for that item to go to the Transportation Policy and Planning Board in the first place, not to this body. And instead, the item that's in front of us today that we're considering referring, which I support, is not related to the corridor study, but is rather a specific geometry for an actual project. And so my recommendation is that we allow the referral of the interim study report to go to the Transportation Policy and Planning Board, where it should have likely gone originally, hear what the Transportation Policy and Planning Board determines about that recommendation, and then we take up this item in July, which is actually making a decision then on very specific geometry, likely influenced by the decision of the Policy and Planning Board around interim study recommendations. So I will be supporting referral. Also, Alder Revere is not here, but Tom can confirm this as well. His understanding is that we would be referring this item tonight to the July 10th meeting and was in support of that.
So at this point, we have a motion to refer.
And can we clarify one more thing? Yeah.
Sure.
So John here. So John, the question, so, you know, we can call it offline as well, but I feel like it's beneficial for the commission members to understand this as well. So now since the original resolution approved by this body that's adopting the interim recommendations for South Broome Street and 300 Block West Wilson, you know, this body approved the geometrics in the component of that. So that has been referred, as you know, referred to TPPB, as I mentioned. So if there are any changes over there at TPPB level, since TC actually is the leading agency lead committee right now, will it come back to TC or it goes right back to Common Council?
So if I'm understanding correctly, if the original resolution, the one that came through here first,
yes,
was talking more broadly about policies and plans for the corridor.
No, I think the intent, Tom can clarify this, but I think the intent for this commission is just geometric portion of it.
Right.
So that's why I call the interim recommendations.
So
the intent is to have this body approve geometrics on the, you know, as a part of the interim report recommendations in the report, so that the project can be further developed and be bid and be built this year.
Okay.
That was our real intent, but Tom can add to it.
I mean, I think one way to simplify it is just to understand that the role of the Transportation Commission is to approve geometrics for a specific project.
Mm-hmm.
Whether there's one resolution, two resolutions, or 10 resolutions, that's the goal, that's the role of the commission for this particular project. If the commission has already ruled on that within the context of, we'll just call it resolution one, but there's been changes to that, then I think it's right for it to come back to the commission to make sure that the geometrics have been seen by the commission before it goes back to Board of Public Works and out to bid or whatever we are in the process. The role of the commission is to decide whether this to make a decision on those geometrics based on that is consistent with policies or plans produced by the Transportation Policy Board. So if in some form those resolutions go to the board as a plan or policy, then the role of the commission is to make decisions that are consistent with the board's interpretation. So I'm not sure it really matters that there are two resolutions, because this commission has one job, and that's to look at the geometrics. And once those are finalized, or once they are in the form that they need to be in to come here, and they're not going to change anymore, then it makes a decision. And perhaps procedurally could have gone differently here, but I think keeping that goal in mind is probably important.
I think the process that Alder Foster is are described is probably the way it should probably go. That the concepts and the role of the street is done by the TPVB. But then the detailed design, which is often accompanied with the drawings that go to the Board of Public Works, would be something that fits within this committee. I think some complicating factors that occurred with this is that, one, I think the mayor's office at that time really wanted, since this was a project that was for this year, well, how can you have a plan and construct it in the same year? Obviously, you know, I think that the office felt like it might be a TC duty. And then one other thing, too, is that ordinarily, if we get ahead of ourselves, we wouldn't be starting a study and then approving geometrics within 5 months. You know, that normally there would be more time. And so if you were able to just go through a sequential thing, you'd have, let's say, 1 year you'd do the study, and then after that you'd, you know, city engineering would do the geometric design. And so if I were to illustrate that, for example, maybe this, the TPPB might say, well, is there going to be a channelized right turn or is there not? All right, so that would be what the TPPB would decide. But then where does that curb lie with the channelized right? And, you know, what is the turning radius for that? And how is the crossing for that? That might, that role might fit more with the TC. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think the lines got blurred because we were in such a rush. You know, but
and I think adding to that, because I was involved in some of the initial conversations with the mayor's office, was that this project came up, the need for it to happen rather quickly came up also within the context of both of these bodies beginning their work. I mean, they were created a year ago. This came up less than 3 or 4 months after they were created. So that also is another unique scenario here. Because the board obviously wouldn't have had time to put together a plan or policy to do that. I think, are you also ruling on the handbook tonight?
We are.
Or not ruling, but hearing. I believe there's language in there that says that if an issue comes before the Transportation Commission for which there is no policy or plan, the Transportation Commission can refer that to the board for instruction and guidance, not for a decision, but just for some, hey, we got this thing, we're supposed to make it consistent with the board's policies. You don't have one. The city doesn't have one on this, so can we get some conduct? So maybe that's a lens that you could look at this through. But again, I think keeping focused on your role is to decide the geometrics, and regardless of what form that comes to you now, one resolution, two resolutions, or 10, like that's the role you're supposed to play.
Grant?
Thank you. Just to add, I think this question of kind of timelines and compressed timelines and overlapping is certainly a part of the confusion. Just in terms of what the decision point in front of us right now, which is referral of this item, where there was a lot of interest to kind of get things out the door. My understanding from conversations with engineering is that we're at a point now where it's likely that this project would not be completed until 2020, regardless of whether we made a decision tonight or on July 10th, for example. And again, based on conversations with Alder Revere, who's not here tonight because his understanding is that we would be referring it, also intends to communicate with residents about the changed timeline, including a changed timeline for Board of Public Works, which has some other items on here. So just in terms of, again, the item in front of us and our decision point, I'm supporting referral, and I urge everyone else to, and that is consistent with the Alder of the district wishes with this and the plans to communicate an updated timeline that will give a little bit more breathing space into this this project.
Okay, any further discussion?
So, yeah, I think those are very helpful discussions. Just to kind of define clear paths from now on, John, just want to make sure with you. So let's refer the resolution that the TC already approved as resolution one. And this one in front of us today, the plan specs, Resolution 2. So Resolution 1 will go to TPPB on July 1st. Once that's done, hopefully it won't have to go through this body again. The staff can, as a conduit, just convey, you know, what has been changed from TPPB, and then make the changes or coordinate and reflect in the new geometrics, and appeal that into Resolution 2, and then we'll look at it on July 10th. Mm-hmm. That sounds like an okay plan?
Yep.
Okay, great.
And it is possible that the Resolution 1 may be referred back to the Transportation Commission by the Policy Board, depending on their conversation. So we'll watch for that and obviously stay in touch. And if that happens, we'll look at that again on July 10th so we can
hopefully we'll
get them together. So
the staff can act as a conduit to reflect those changes to make the process a little bit simpler instead of dealing with two resolutions.
Yep.
I have a point of information. Is there a write-up of the city's sort of standard, like, engineering and design process in terms of the steps that these sorts of projects normally go through? And when you reach a set of plans, 30% plans, et cetera?
I did put together a schematic flowchart, which kind of sequentially outlines how everything goes. I did give it to the TPPB. We never discussed it. I just did it as a handout. It's the one that I showed you. And so that might be useful for this.
Yeah, if you could share that with us, that would be great.
Yep.
You share it with me, too, again.
Okay.
It's been a while.
I'm going to have him double-check it. Okay. He's already double-checked it, but he'll triple-check it.
Okay. So we have a motion in front of us to refer item G3. To the Transportation Commission meeting on July the 10th. There was a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the motion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carried. I'm saving this stack of papers. So.
Good.
Great, thanks. Okay, next we have the Transportation Commission handbook. Gary, do you want to?
Well, I think as the members of this body know, we've been working on this for several months, and we try to include the input from members of this body from our last meeting. We also received some information from a former member of the Transit and Parking Commission about an aspect that we might want to include. And I think the goal, at least in my mind, was to make sure that, new members and even existing members have a better understanding of all the things that would come before this particular body and have a lot of tools and support information that would make them a better commissioner. And I think the other hope was that maybe if this was works well, that other significant committees and commissions of the city would also follow this lead and develop something like this so that committee members, whether they're alders or citizens, would be better committee members and be more active and informed. So that's the point of this. It's not a document that's obviously written in stone because I suspect we will revisit it. Mm-hmm. And as we work through it, hopefully improve it. Mm-hmm. And so we had some great help in this regard from Yang Cao and Ann Schrader from Madison Metro and John Strange from the City Attorney's Office and the help of our illustrious chair, Alders Rebecca Kimball and Grant Foster and myself. So I would heartily hope that you would recommend adoption of this. And it's a living document, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, and we incorporated in an annual review of it so that we're sure we revisit it on an annual basis. And we did incorporate all of the changes. One change that you will notice is that there used to be a number of links within the handbook, and now there is just a link to the Transportation Commission website, which is on our agenda later to discuss. And in talking with IT and visiting with various people, one of the largest frustrations that people have is broken links in documents.
when you're in those documents. And since this handbook will be posted on our Transportation Commission website, all of the links that people would need to use, the convenient resources and tools that Gary was talking about, will be on that same page, right where if you go get the handbook, those links will all be right there. So it'll be much easier. We talked with the IT folks, and it'll be much easier to maintain it just in that one place, especially since the links are from various sources. So that is one change from what we talked about at the last meeting. So
I would move that we would accept this handbook.
Okay. There's a motion. And a second. Discussion?
I think just to make it clear for both us and also the people who are watching, this is more like an annotation of the rules as opposed to the rules itself.
Yes.
And
so
it's a summary and a layperson so that we can understand it. But as far as it doesn't do anything to interfere with other city ordinances or other rules that bind us, it's just to help us understand what those are.
That's exactly right. And it's a summary, and included in the handbook is a requirement that new members take whatever additional training they might need in order to fully understand all of the training topics that are listed in the handbook. So there's additional time that will need to be spent. So, and there are some training sessions that we'll still need to create, like the transportation ordinances. Training isn't available on that. So that's an, you know, there's some development that we'll need to do as well. Okay, so there's a motion and a second. Further discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. A lot of good work done on the handbook, so thanks to everybody. Item G5. Hi. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Chris Petikowski with City of Madison Engineering Department. And I am just going to show you today revised plans and specs for the East Johnson Street Assessment District 2019. So this is a project that's under construction right now. The limits are along the existing City Fleet Services site, which is planned to be the public market. And as the public market plan has been developing, and we have, and their site plan starts to take shape a little bit, realized that their project, if when it goes ahead, would require some geometric changes in the street. And we would like to, we have a very short window where we could actually implement some of the changes the market needs that also still works for fleet as well in the interim. So I am trying to find this. There it is. So I'll just orient you folks here. So East Johnson Street is actually off the map here. This is First Street. Here's Johnson Street. And then this is Dayton and Mifflin back over here. So the current design that's been approved and was scheduled for the contractor to build is these pink lines, which you can kind of see here, the curb line, and then this median here. So when we have been working with the public market team, they're realizing that the best place for their driveway would be along this location here, which kind of straddles the fleet site and the MMSD, Madison Metropolitan Sewerage District site. So in order to try to make their driveway work, we would need to make changes in the street that in a year's time frame on only like a one-year-old street. So our goal here was to try to find a solution with the medians that would work for both fleet and the interim and public market. So we worked with the public market team and traffic engineering staff to try to figure that out. And what we're proposing is to, instead of having a closed median here, we would have a left-in median that allows a left-in but not a left-out onto First Street. The driveway, a widened driveway along the fleet site that as I mentioned, would require an easement from Madison or MMSD. And ultimately would require this structure being used by police evidence storage to be removed. And then on the other side of the site here, we had planned for this driveway to remain open, and we had a corrugated median here. We would like to turn that into a full median that cannot be crossed. And so in the interim for fleet, it would serve as a right-in and right-out. But ultimately, with the market site plan, this driveway would end up going away. Worked with fleet staff to make sure this works for them, and as long as this is a two-way driveway, they're okay with that. And like I said, the curb and sidewalk, I'm not sure if the curb's been poured yet, but we're not proposing a curb change here. But this median curb and this sidewalk has not been poured yet, and we have a little window here where we could make this. If we approve the change, we could have the contractor build this format, which would allow for both. One other minor change is just the sidewalk shifting from closer to the street here to be behind these MG&E transformers. And the reason for that is if you have a two-way driveway widened here close to those transfers, we wanted the pedestrians on this sidewalk to be visible to the exiting drivers on the driveway. So we're proposing to move the sidewalk a little close on the other side of the transformers.
So going, making that left turn off of First Street into the driveway, it'll be wide enough so that the drivers who are making the left turn would see passengers hidden behind the transformers.
So the left turn here, would they be able to see a pedestrian behind the transformer?
Yeah. I mean, enough opportunity. You know, we were talking, I think a while ago, we were talking about one street where they were going to put the bike path between the curb and the parked cars and all that kind of stuff. And the issue of bikes and other things that would be using that, is there a visual barrier that would be hard for that driver to see somebody who's moving?
I think the key is there's a little more time there. You're staged in a position here where you're out of traffic, and you'd be able to, you know, see a pedestrian moving. Whereas, so it's kind of a which is better, which is worse kind of thing. And in this case, when you're driving out of the site, you know, you may encounter that pedestrian on the other side of that transformer. And I think as staff, we just thought this was the better situation.
Just offhand, how high are those? How tall?
I believe they're about 3.5 feet tall.
A bicyclist would be seen. Above.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm taller than that.
Grant.
Grant.
Is that other driveway? East.
This one?
No, in between the next one on the left. That one. Is that staying?
These two proposed driveways are these two existing driveways need to stay for fleet, but the current site plan is has those removed.
And so the configuration of the left turn there and the kind of that odd shaped island to form the additional left turn pocket, is there a real strong reason to have that left turn lane happen so fast? Like, is there, because if
Right here.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I'm just imagining that getting like destroyed by the plow blades after one winter.
So I think those were initially sized based on the queues. So as you can see, the old design had that lane starting right about here. And so that was why we hadn't proposed any change to that. So that it was, go ahead.
That's actually a very, very good point. We thought a lot about that when we are working with the public market, you know, what access they can have. Ideally, you know, I've told them, you know, we don't want to see an access point over here, but there is really no good, other good choices. Also, for a long term, so we view this as a short midterm solution. For long term, we have asked the market to work with the strip mall property owners as they develop. We want a new access point actually aligned better with the Mifflin Street. So eventually this driveway is going to go away. But in the before that can happen, the market needs some kind of access, actually lighting access for them to operate.
So you're saying the two middle driveways that Fleet uses now will eventually be taken out and curbed when market is in there?
That is the proposed plan.
Yeah, that's the proposed plan. Yeah, I'm also talking about the access point that Chris is talking about over there.
Yeah.
So eventually, we hope that will go away as well.
Move to here.
Go ahead. What tells a motorist that they are to use that kind of odd mid-block turn lane to turn at the end of a block versus turning into one of those Fleet driveways?
Well, these wouldn't. Well,
and for now, though.
Yeah.
I guess I'd be, just as a motorist, I'd be confused about that, thinking if I'm in that turn lane, I must turn at my next opportunity. I'm just not sure how that would work.
That's another great question. So we think about doing some signing work to kind of guide.
Yeah.
Kind of guiding sign for drivers so they know exactly which one pocket to turn to.
Well, and striping, I think, would help.
Yeah. So I think we think that can help. We also debate about whether to get rid of that little kind of a grease you can point to it. Yeah, little concrete over there so that if they do make a mistake, if, for example, they want to go to Johnson Street, but they turn early, get to turn early, now they found they have to go to Power Market so that they can continue going, get out of there. So we thought about that. But then as we remove those, we increase the chance more people trying to turn left out from the driveway to First Street, which at times that turn can be very challenging and unsafe. So we're thinking, this might be, the better of the two not ideal solutions. As people start to turn, their speed is typically lower. And if they make mistake, they can wait a little bit. They may delay people behind them a little bit, but I need a lot of serious safety issue. We do also think about during the snow events, when the snow was not cleared from that turning bay, whether people are going to see that curb or not. So we think about doing some maybe posts, like a post over there as well, so people can see that there's something in there they shouldn't drive into it. So this is not definitely not the ideal solution that we'd like to see, but we feel like it's something that allows the public market to operate before we can move the driveway to a better location.
Chris, can you use your pointer to show where's the main public parking? Is it down where the cars are at the bottom?
Right here, yes.
And so what's the main exit? Once the market's open, so what's the main driveway coming in? Off Johnson?
There'll be a driveway here on Johnson Street, and then this one on First Street.
So they'll be able to use that two-lane. It's not just the trucks for the market. The public can come in.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. I at first thought it was just delivery truck use. Okay.
Grant?
Mostly just a suggestion. If you haven't already, just having streets look at that thing, and it seems like some kind of vertical elements so that you can see it in the snow. It just looks like it's going to get prone to get run into, especially by a plow, but also potentially by a driver when there's snow.
What action do you need?
We need a motion to approve it.
So moved.
Second.
It's a motion and a second. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Okay, next on our agenda, we have our Transportation Commission work plan. We incorporated all of the suggestions from the last meeting that we had. And in the handbook that we approved earlier, we also approved that the work plan is going to be a quarterly reviewed document. So every quarter, at the beginning of every quarter, we're going to open this up again so we have an opportunity to look at it. So it's a very dynamic document. As opposed to just using it for a year and leaving it sit there, we're going to actually open it up every quarter and make sure everything's good on there. Do we need to take something off? Do we need to change something? Do we need to add something? So, Yang, did you have other comments about it?
No, I just want to thank everybody for the great inputs.
Okay, so other comments? Otherwise, we do need to approve this so that we actually have an approved work plan for our next year.
Move approval.
There's a motion.
Second.
And a second. Discussion?
Yeah. Bridget got a second.
Okay, Bridget seconded. Okay. Any further discussion? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Great, and thank you, Yang. Yang was the original author of this, and then thanks to everybody. We had a lot of great feedback and input, so very much appreciate that. Okay, next, we do have some folks who are registered to speak. What I would like to do, and this is our typical pattern, is to have Keith come up and introduce the item and talk about it. And then before we get into our, any motions or any discussion, our deep discussion, we'll ask the members of the public to come and give their thoughts as well. So, Keith?
Sure. I'm Keith Pollack. I'm at Traffic Engineering. TE is recommending the approval of the 2019-2021 taxicab operator licenses. They're all set to expire at the end of June. So these need to be approved so that they can have their license and continue. The following taxi cab companies have applied for renewal for the two-year license. Affiliated carriage systems is a Madison Taxi, Badger Cab, Green Cab, and Union Cab, and Specialized Transportation Services. These are companies that are not full taxi cab companies. They act as contractors for Metro, and Metro likes to have them approved by this board and have their drivers go through background checks through Madison Police Department. So those are Badger Bus and Transit Solutions. There are many representatives from the taxi cab companies here today. We have Green Cab, we have Badger Cab, and we have Union Cab people here. So if you have questions later. Now, I think many of you have gotten this anonymous report. Generally, we don't accept, we get anonymous complaints from the public. We take that information and we pass it on to the cab companies. We don't count that as a formal complaint. We use it as cab companies can use it to improve their service, to improve their record keeping. And I talked with city attorney about this, and they concurred. But I do think, in reviewing the report, I think there was some information that we can use to improve the process and help the cab companies improve their record keeping. And for the last couple of days, I've been working with all the cab companies, and they've been working in good faith. And we pretty much have all the cab companies have their vehicles, their VINs, their license plate number, and the type of vehicle. They're all lining up right now. And the ones that are not registered, they're getting registered. And there are some questions about whether they were dealing with recall, recalls in their vehicles. They're addressing that as well. So I think they're operating in good faith in that manner. And that if there is a vehicle that is not registered and is recalled, they should probably take that vehicle off the street and, get it fixed. And I think they are doing that already. But I think, if a vehicle should be suppressed, but the company should not be, not be able to operate for the next 2 years. So we are recommending that it be approved. So some of the, in our investigation, we asked a series of questions. They had written responses. We looked at some of the complaints that were issued with logged with the city. Not a tremendous amount of complaints. It actually seems like the number of complaints that are issued here are going down. We, you know, from the reporter problem and through phone calls and emails, we get complaints about the companies, and there's not really any systematic pattern or problems we're having with any of the companies. Each of the companies showed their appropriate insurance certificate. They have $1 million coverage per accident. They're actually, most of them are well over that amount, and they have the appropriate language in their insurance information about adding the city as an additional insured. And actually all their insurance certificates have been approved by the city risk manager. Other companies were asked about vehicle maintenance, driver rest periods, customer and driver complaints. You have that, all that information, and there's a couple of surveys for 2 different years included in your packet. And if you have any questions about those, I'd be happy to answer them. They just kind of give you a good snapshot of the state of the industry and what's going on. And generally, I asked a couple open-ended questions just to kind of get a sense of the industry with the cab companies. And the biggest issue that pretty much all of them responded about was the TNCs, the Ubers and Lyft, really eating into their business, really hurting their business, especially on nights and weekends, which back in the old days, the good old days, those were their biggest money-making times. As you may recall, you know, the city no longer has any authority to regulate TNCs. The state has that authority. And in response to some of their concerns and questions in general, I would like to have a meeting with the cab company just again to try to see if we have any consensus about any ordinance changes or policy changes with the city. I like to do that from time to time, and this is always a good reminder when they provide this information to do that. The general quality of the vehicles are okay. The inspections they do monthly, new vehicles come on are fine. And that's pretty much it. We are recommending that all six companies are approved, licenses are approved for renewal. And that's it. And if you have any questions.
Okay, we do have two people who registered, but John Schmidt and Jody Schmidt from Green Cab, but you just indicated that you were available for questions. Did you want to speak at all? Okay. All right. Great. Thanks. Gary?
I had a question. I refresh my memory. What is the deadline that we require of cab companies to get us this information?
We don't really have a hard and fast deadline. I mean, there are six companies, and, you know, they have to be all approved by the end of June.
Right.
Typically, it's not a problem. This year, there was some lateness. One of the companies, there's some new people, and it's actually new people in several of the companies, so they came in late. But as long as we get them down, and I think we'll be in the June, and I promise now that lesson learned that we will be starting the process earlier. We'll probably be in May. We'll probably be in 2 years, we'll be in the May Transportation Commission meeting, not the June.
Yeah, and is it your practice when you receive the application for renewal, do you go through any of the you know, like, I don't think you look at all the VINs, obviously, but that's nothing you've really ever done before, right?
Actually, the last cycle, I did do that.
Okay.
This cycle, unfortunately, the one time I didn't do it, we have the anonymous person calling me for it. So,
yeah,
so I think next time I will be doing that. And I think that because the managers will have more experience now, and now they'll be aware of it. I don't think it'll be big of a thing. And I think I won't wait for the next 2 years to go over it as well.
Would you recommend an ordinance change to have a deadline for our cab companies to respond to this relicensure?
I don't think that's absolutely necessary.
Okay.
Well, let me just talk. Would you need an ordinance change to set a deadline, or could you just set a deadline in communicating with the six companies?
I could certainly set a deadline. I mean,
is that?
Yeah, but it's okay.
No, I don't know. I think it's important to have the deadline. I just don't know. Well, do we need to have the ordinance
to enforce a deadline? What happens if they're late a week? Yeah. What are the consequences? I mean, I don't know if we really want to build a whole new ordinance that's punitive in
let's see if we can do it.
Without an ordinance.
Yeah. Right. Really just looking for confirmation from you. I think you kind of said this already, but in reference to the communication that we received at this point, you feel comfortable and confident with the information that we have on file for all the vehicles, and your recommendation is to approve.
We do have all the vehicles and the VINs, and I think that's all. I pretty much have confirmed all that, and they are working towards having these vehicles registered and having any recalls, corrected and taken repaired. So I do have confidence that, yeah. And they were all the companies were quick to respond, mm-hmm. acted in good faith, so I think they're fine.
And those elements, the registration or the recall or those sorts of things, is that kind of under jurisdiction of what you do, or is that in terms of that question of that sounds like they're going to be working on and getting it done, does the city have any responsibility to ensure that's done, or is that just their own kind of professional liability, or I'm not really familiar with the
that's
process.
A good question. I mean, generally, as it's all kind of policy for the city. We don't have anything necessarily written down about that. Our past practice has always been when there's a new cab comes online, I make sure that all these things are, but the cabs, they last how many years, whatever. I don't do that after that. And like I said, the last cycle, I did check all the bins and all that stuff, and I will do that again.
And one last question, just to confirm, talking about the TNCs, they are not required to do this process. Is that correct?
They are licensed by the state, and we are specifically prohibited from regulating them.
So they don't really have to go through any of this as opposed to the licensed taxi operators, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would move approval of all six licenses with the provision that no vehicle that is not registered or been cleared through the recall be operated until those requirements have been met. And it sounds like they're going to be able to do that within that time period, but I think that's how we should frame it.
It needs to be contingent.
Yeah.
I agree. You're talking about safety. I'm just asking for a clarification because there are lots of different kinds of recalls, some of which are more important than other recalls. So are you talking about anything that's subject to recall?
Well, in general, anything that gets recalled has to do with the safe operation of the vehicle. Trim coming off is not a recall.
I just want to clarify. So the motion that's in front of us is that we approve the renewal of the licenses with the provision that no vehicle that is not properly registered or is subject to a recall would not be operated until that's resolved.
That's correct.
Grant?
So I think that kind of gets at my earlier question, and I think lacking clarity of what our responsibility and authority is, I just feel a little uncomfortable saying that if we don't have anything to back it up or enforcement or anything else. So I think what's in front of us is approving the license renewals. So are we saying that if they do operate and there's a recall, that has an impact on their license, or like what happens in that kind of emotion? So I definitely appreciate the intent, but also this question of recall, because there are recalls that are not safety related, I believe. I don't know. I just feel a little uncomfortable sort of putting that out there. It's not clear if we even really have any authority in terms of that.
One thing that we talked earlier, Keith and I talked earlier, would be to consider a simpler motion where we approve the renewal of the licenses, but then require that Keith follow up on all of these items and come back and report back to us to make sure that all of the items that were of concern are resolved, because we also were unclear as to what authority the city has to say you can't operate a cab that's subject to recall. I mean, I don't know. I don't think Amber's, she's not here, right?
I mean, I think it's our interest
that the cabs are safe, and if, I suppose if it's, you know, if there's a recall, mm-hmm. not, you know, they're not fixing the thing up to a recall that would consider not safe vehicles. So we have probably have a little bit of, but as for not being registered, that's, you know, the violating state law. Mm-hmm. We have a little leverage there, but yeah, I mean, I don't think the cab companies would actually object to any, you know, provision like that per se, but the legality of it, I'm not, I couldn't speak to 100%.
So the motion in front of us is just to restate that we approve the renewal of the licenses with the provision that no vehicle that is not properly registered or is subject to recall.
Safety recall.
Okay. I like that better. Safety recall would not be operated until those issues are resolved. Further discussion. Okay.
Yeah. I guess I'm just going to vote no on it. I guess just because I don't think we should do the second part. So.
Okay. Is there further discussion about the motion or suggestions for anything different?
Well, I guess one question is, what is the effect really then? If you know, we have before us the approval, but then with the modification, if the modification isn't something that we can do, does it just become a moot point?
It may, yes. Mm-hmm. It certainly sends the message that we're concerned about it, but if we can't enforce it, I would think it would become a moot point. I mean, we don't have city attorneys here, but I would assume. Because I don't know, what would you do, Keith, if you found out that they were operating a vehicle that was subject to a safety recall? I mean, what would you do about it?
I would contact the city attorney. I don't.
Yeah. Grant?
I was just pulling up as we were talking this ordinance. I haven't seen it yet, but I don't even know. For a licensed taxi, they get notification of a recall. I didn't see anything that says you need to immediately take that out of operation. And again, definition of what recall is, and there's all kinds of, there's recalls that are like emissions related, and I know you said safety, but mm-hmm. I think what's in front of us is approving the license renewals, and I don't think making them contingent on recall work. It just feels like it's a separate issue, I guess, and it doesn't sound like you're really, there's not clarity that this is a role of your office to look into recalls.
Well, there's a provision in the code regarding inspection of the vehicles, which would potentially imply that could include not just physical inspection, but inspection of all the necessary paperwork. So that is provided for in municipal code.
Might be a stretch. My inspection, actually, I'm not a mechanic. I don't, you know, I basically look at, make sure it has all the appropriate markings, you know, the license plate and the VIN match. That's printed. They have the phone number so they can call a complaint to the city. That's the level of inspection that we have.
I'd ask the resident or the if they're registered to
one of the registrants.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you come up and speak? Introduce yourself for us, if you would, please.
I'm John Schmidt, one of the owners of Green Cab. And in regards to these recalls, we've never heard of this before. In regards to the issue and renewing our taxi cab license, when we purchase our cars, obviously, we're going to get some recalls. We do address those recalls, but with a fleet of cars, you might have something like a piece of molding. Somebody, I heard somebody say there might be an issue where you replace a fuse with a relay because of a dome light or something like that. If you get a recall that is a major safety issue, it will say on there, do not drive the car, report it to the dealer immediately. All these recalls, they are safety, but they're not hazardous safety. You know, it isn't like the car is going to start on fire. If that's one of them, then that car comes off the road. But to say every recall. You can't drive the car until it's fixed. I'm not going to buy any brand new cars because it's the new cars that are having the problems. The old cars don't have the problems. So to do that, I guess, would be very cumbersome on the taxi cab companies. I think the maintenance program, Keith, you've seen a lot of the maintenance programs. I mean, we have our Priuses up to 600,000 miles on them. That's a good maintenance program where you have the corporate from Toyota coming in and looking at our cars, figuring out how are we getting these mileage, how good is your maintenance program that you can make this work. That, to us, shows we're doing a good job. We also, our insurance company, if we have cars that are getting smashed up because we were negligent in taking a car in for a recall, we're going to get penalized on the insurance on top of it also. So for the city to, I guess, approve or deny a license or the use of a car because of a recall, I just don't think that's very fair at all. I mean, that's my opinion anyways.
Anybody have questions for him?
How about the registration requirement?
Our cars are all registered. I mean, we renew them all the time. I know we did have a couple issues with a couple numbers being switched around, but our cars are all registered.
Yeah, I guess that's the piece that maybe concerns me more is, you know, operating a taxi cab company, I think the public has a fair expectation of having, you know, a safe and legal vehicle. That they're going to be, you know, riding in, and you know, it does seem like keeping registrations current is very basic to operating a taxi cab company. You know, certainly, you know, every other citizen has to do it and has that expectation. And so, I guess I'm a little bit curious as to, you know, I know that you said there's been turnover and things like that, but again, this is just such a basic paperwork piece. Did you get reasons or explanations or any from some of the companies? I mean, it looks like Green doesn't have a problem with that, but some of the others really seem to.
Yeah. I have not really gotten any specific explanations.
Let's see.
We have
to keep order here.
From the cab companies here, and they certainly can respond to that.
Okay. Ken?
So I withdraw my motion, or I move to withdraw my motion. I don't know who seconded it.
Richard, I think. And so, okay, then we withdraw the move. Okay.
I would move to, that objection, I would then move to just approve the six licenses.
Okay. Is there a second, Grant? Okay, so we now have a motion on the floor, but we do have someone who wants to speak and another person who wants to speak. So go ahead, introduce yourself. You're Jody?
Yeah, my name is Jody Schmidt. I was just up here for questions. I'm fine.
Okay. And Bill, did you wish to speak?
I would. I'm Bill Carter. I'm the business manager at Union Cab. I wanted to speak in reference to registration. I started at Union Cab at the end of 2017. At the end of 2018, we went to register a number of vehicles and the state refused to do it. The reason, apparently over the years, Union Cab has had different legal names. It's been Union Cab Cooperative, Union Cab of Madison Cooperative, and Union Cab of Madison Cooperative, Inc. Different cabs have different names on it. They gave me a bunch of things that I needed to do in order for them to register those vehicles. I had to make sure that the name had the proper name at the Department of Financial Institutions. That's been taken care of. The insurance has registered the proper name. The last piece is they want a letter from the IRS. I filed that letter months ago. I waited on hold for 3 hours last week to try to talk to the IRS and was unable to do it. Until I get that letter, they're not going to renew those vehicles, and that is something that I'm working on. I've done everything that was asked, and that's the last piece. I don't have any control over the speed at what they do it. So,
okay, so you're the current motion, you'd still be okay under the current motion.
But obviously you're working on it, and you'll continue to work on it, and Keith will work with you on that as well. I'd just like to make one comment before we go to a vote, and that is Keith and I talked about the process and the next time around getting out further ahead of it and giving us more of an opportunity so that if it comes to us next time, we're not up against the renewal dates on the licenses. So we'll do that, maybe even consider some written procedures about what would be a good idea to do and what should be checked. I mean, VIN numbers are 17, you know, numbers and letters. So if you look at them and they're 16 or 18, you know they're wrong and get them checked.
Yeah. So. And I just would ask John and Jody and Bill, you know, a few years ago when the Ubers and Lyfts came into town and we attempted with a subcommittee to deal with it, right. State took pulled the rug out from us. But one of the things that I created that subcommittee as chair of DPC, and one of my hopes at the time, and I didn't say it loudly or enough times, was that I was hoping that the current cab companies would help us update our ordinance, that, you know, you guys live under it. Maybe it could be updated, refreshed, and I hope in your discussions with Keith that some of these things come up, and maybe at some point, not this year or whatever, that we create a subcommittee or just create a new ordinance.
That would a new to the policy board.
A new ordinance that would be up more up to date. And I hope, I know you folks have been to our meetings before and will participate, but I want your input. I think we need your input on, you know, a modern-day cab ordinance, regardless of the difficulties you have with the Lyfts and the Ubers of the world.
Yeah.
Okay. We appreciate that.
More than okay, further discussion, Grant?
To your point about sequencing for the next time, maybe mm-hmm. that's an item. If it's not already, we could either put in the work plan or adjust it as sort of, you know, just figure out if we want it in May or April or when that right moment is, and then it sounds like this is just a biennial process, though, so maybe in parentheses or something we have to say on odd years or something like that, but it might be just a good way to kind of have that on the map as we look for that next year's work plan.
Mm-hmm. Good comment. Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
All right.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Yes. The first motion was officially withdrawn, and then the second motion was just a motion to approve renewal of the license. Ken and Grant. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So next, Keith is still up for the quadricycle license renewal.
So basically the same timing cycle as the taxi cab. So this is the commercial quadricycle. That's like the 12-person pedal-powered vehicle that you see going up and down State Street. Trolley Pub is the name of the company, and they're requesting three vehicle permits. The only major really issue we've had with Trolley Pub was that they had found their parking and staging location was at the 316 West Washington with the Exxon on West Mifflin. And that was near a lot of condos, and there was a lot of problems with loud, boisterous behavior and just drunken tomfoolery and whatnot. So after a lot of complaints about that, they wised up, and they basically moved to back to their original location, Buckingham's Bar and Grill, where they built a permanent parking structure there for the commercial quadricycles. So that is a big improvement, I think, and hopefully we shouldn't have those issues anymore.
And that was incorporated into the resolution.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we're just asking that this license be renewed.
Gary?
A couple things. One, you need to correct, you have in your Transit and Parking Commission, which no longer exists, you may want to correct that error in the resolution. It's the Transportation Commission, at least the resolution I have.
Where are you seeing that, Gary?
It says, whereas the traffic engineer has provided the Transit and Parking Commission with an investigative report.
There you
didn't
go.
Catch that.
And that needs to be corrected and should have been corrected to begin with. But I have a question. I know you're not with MPD, and I... and maybe the Alders would know, do we have an open container law or ordinance violation in the city? And are these these pedal cabs
the ordinance
exempt?
Yeah, they are exempt. The ordinance was specifically changed to allow them to have, each person can have two beer, I guess. I think it was the fancy word for it. But basically, you can have, bring two beers on the vehicle. They can't take them with them anywhere. This passed 2-3 years ago.
Okay.
Yes, Council Mayor, yes.
It went over my head, apparently. I didn't know that.
Grant?
And then maybe this is a question for Yang, but where can it be operated? And I'm asking specifically around shared use paths, because I've seen that happen. Is that an intended use of these vehicles, or are they supposed to only be in streets, or what kind of vehicle are they?
Well, I mean, I've talked to the DOT about this, and they're just basically legally considered a large bicycle. So, however, they do give us, there is a route map on here, and they do stick to that. Occasionally, they may have a run to alter from it, and they actually contact us, and we will approve that or not approve that. And that's generally, their time that they can operate is basically not the busy times on State Street for Metro. So I think it's, I forget what time it is exactly, but it can't go before 6 o'clock on State Street unless they get special permission.
So this might be an item that we could put on a list to potential items for TPPB to take up, but to me, that kind of policy question of should we allow these on our shared use paths, they definitely don't work well there.
I think so.
So if that,
let them, you're talking about a bike path?
Yeah, yeah. Say, no. Well, I thought you were saying they're considered a large bicycle, and I have personally seen them on there, and I just, that's what was my question, is that legal? I mean, if you're saying they're a large bicycle, it's legal.
Oh, we tell them do not use the bike paths. Now, if we have any legal authority to do that, we have the right to tell them what the routes are or what zones they can operate in. So in that regard, we can control them.
So maybe, I guess I would ask, and I don't know what our exact process is, but I would ask maybe we send that to TPPB as a potential item for consideration if we would consider prohibiting operation of these on our shared use paths. Obviously, that's separate from the motion that's in front of us. Just
taking notes here. We did have one registrant, Chris Wilcox, was here, but just available to answer questions. Did you wish to speak? Okay, come on up.
Is that him? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm Christopher Wilcox, Mass resident on Mifflin Street, and I was one of the complainants that company references in their resolution. Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking on behalf of a number of residents on Mifflin Street, and we all applaud what Alderman Revere did, and along with others in the city, to get the zoning changed so that the company could move back to Regent Street. That's a wonderful improvement for us. But I did have one provision for you to consider making. I'm worried about what might happen during the next 2 years, during the renewal period, if some unforeseen development should occur, such as, for example, if Buckingham's ownership changes and they no longer want these huge trolleys to be parked, taking up space in their parking lot, or something like a fire or vandalism, since there's a lot of students down in that area. So I'm worried that in one of those eventualities or something we can't foresee, they no longer be able to operate out of Buckingham's on Regent Street, and then they would simply want to go back to Mifflin, because that's what they were always allowed to do under the current contract that they have with the city. So my suggestion for you to consider is actually adding a provision, as you did earlier tonight, to this resolution, saying that simply in no event during the license period could the operation be returned to Mifflin Street.
Do you have any questions for the registrant?
I would just suggest that perhaps, rather than naming any specific area, that if any changes were to take place to the license or the application as submitted, then it would need to come back for approval.
Oh.
So it's in here. Sure. And so regardless, I would suggest that, you know, then, you know, rather than potentially causing harm or headache to someone else, that, you know, it go through the process again to be considered.
I'm sorry, say that one more time, Bridget.
Yeah, so rather than saying, you know, if circumstances change, then you can't do this, I would rather suggest that if anything about the application, any of the information provided in the application changes, that it come back for review and consideration to the appropriate governing body.
So would you say, Keith, that the application clearly covers the issue that the current registrant is complaining about? Because I'm not sure that it does.
I don't think it particularly does, other mm-hmm. than their route map.
Right.
Other than the route doesn't. If it was somewhere else along the route map, I suppose they could say that's okay. That wouldn't be a change.
But the route is a part of the application. The route map. Is it not? The route map is part of the application.
Yes.
So yeah.
But you're saying that they could stage anywhere along the route map.
Right. Mm. I mean, I think they have been responsive. You know, they did receive a lot of complaints. They were responsive. They have invested a lot of money and built a permanent structure in Buckingham's parking lot. They have a financial agreement with Buckingham. They had to change their relationship with Buckingham's in order to – I don't understand all the technicalities of it, but they changed their relationship with Buckingham's in order to be having their zoning changed. So, I mean, they have they have strong ties there. Of course, something could happen. Who knows? It could burn down or some of the things Mr. Wilcox says, but it's hard to say.
Great.
So is there any issue with us doing something like was suggested and maybe just referencing saying any that the primary loading zone is Buckingham's Bar and Grill, and that any changes to that would require approval by the Transportation Commission?
I think conceptually I like that idea. Legally, like kind of our prior discussion, I don't know what authority we have to do that. I don't think the company would object to that necessarily. Fortunately, I don't think they're here tonight.
I don't understand how we wouldn't have that authority.
That one feels more
normal
to me. So I'm just making a note here. So your suggestion, Grant, would be at the end of the whereas clause where trolley pub in response to neighborhood complaints, that one to say if there's any relocation of the staging location, is that the correct issue?
Yes.
If there's any relocation of the staging location.
And I'd put the address in there. Just put the current address in.
From 316 West Washington. Wait.
No.
Any relocation from Buckingham's Bar and Grill, right?
I go to Regent Street.
But what do we want that? If this, then what?
Any request to change that needs to get approved by the Transportation Commission.
Request. How about this? So any request to change?
Any move received prior approval.
If you could let me finish. If there's any request to change the location of this, staging location, that's kind of wordy, change the staging location from Buckingham's Bar and Grill, approval would be required from the Transportation Commission. Is that what is being suggested? I can read that again to you.
or just simply not even the request purpose, any change to the staging location requires Transportation Commission approval.
Say that again, Grant.
Any change to the staging location requires Transportation Commission approval.
Okay, so any change to the staging location requires approval from the Transportation Commission. That's simpler. What do you think about that, Keith?
I don't think anybody would object.
Okay, so at this point we have two changes that have been suggested to the resolution. One is to correct Transit and Parking Commission to Transportation Commission, and the second is to add to the whereas clause that starts trolley pub in response, et cetera, at the end. With
speakers. Go back then.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you, are you done? Right.
I'm done, except that I think you need to strengthen or consider strengthening your sentence, your addition, a little bit, because it isn't just the staging location. It's also the route. They used Mifflin Street as one of their routes in the previous 2 years.
Well, the route is, Keith, correct me if I'm wrong, the route is outlined here, so they can't change the route, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so I think that's covered.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the application.
They cannot change it.
That's what he just said.
Right, they would have to get special permission.
And how would that be, through you or through the commission?
That would be the traffic engineer's discretion.
Okay.
That's what it says in the ordinance.
Okay.
And then I just had a request. Keith, would you be able to put me on notice if they came in and asking for changes?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Grant?
Yes, maybe just address this point. One last change there. Any changes to the route, including staging location, needs to be approved by the Transportation Commission, because that would then allow for public comment and all of that, unless that's not.
Sometimes they'll say, oh, boy, there's something in town. They want to do a tour on State Street at 3 o'clock, or something very, very specific, a one-time thing. That would be a little bit much to go to the command. If it was like a regular route change, then okay,
yeah.
But not
that would be a regular route change.
Yeah. Any change to the regular route, would that satisfy?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So, any change in the regular route or staging location would require approval of the Transportation Commission. Okay, so there's a motion of the resolution as amended.
Second.
And a second by Bridget. You got all that, Patrick?
Mm-hmm.
My notes are kind of messy, but I can go over it with you later. Discussion. Keith, you okay with all of those changes?
Sure.
In terms of being able to enforce them? Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye. All right.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. So Gary's opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you, ma'am.
Look at this. The city council. Look at the ordinance.
Okay. Next we have on, so we just made it all the way through the new business. We're now into the informational presentation. Item H1, Grant had asked that this be brought to the Transportation Commission. We don't need to approve it, but it was more in order to talk about the process. And some of what we'll be talking about is, I think, something that is on the agenda for us to talk about at the joint Transportation Policy and Planning Board and the Transportation Commission meeting on July 10th, which is what are the various roles of the various groups. And we've focused on the TPPB and the TC, but staff and the Department of Transportation is also an important part of that group as well. And, you know, part of what TORC did when they updated the ordinance was, you know, this goes to the policy board, this goes to the commission, and this remains staff's responsibility. So some of these things that, some of the projects that are in this document you would have recognized because the speed humps we reviewed and approved as part of the neighborhood traffic management program. A couple of the intersections we talked about in terms of traffic signal priority. They were not recommended for traffic signals, but other measures were recommended. So we indirectly spoke about them. Some of the other ones, projects we did not see at all. So, Grant, did I summarize the reason why it's here? Okay. So maybe if traffic engineering can just talk about the process a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the staff is bringing up the materials. Maybe I give a kind of background on this. As many of you may remember that this body approved the traffic calming project for 2019. So after that, we developed specific plans for construction, and we need to find a contractor to do some of the work, especially when it's coming to concrete work, as it's more cost effective for a contractor to do it rather than city crew to do it. That's what this file is for, the 55387. We put together, we work with city engineering, put together a public works contract. So these are the projects included in that. In addition to the traffic calming projects, we also throw in some other small projects into the contract. For example, if we want to build a traffic island, small island somewhere, we throw that into this contract. So we can get all bid together, we can get a good price. You know, for those projects, traditionally, the never went through any committees for approval before. So according to ordinance, those are the administrative decisions of staff. Actually, I had some conversation with John Strange as well about you know, what has been discussed at TORC. So at TORC, they specifically talk about you know, what so they did a matrix and started to talk about, you know, which items should go to TPPB, which items should go to TC, and which item should be on the under the jurisdiction of the staff, so that they can take care of it. Because it's not just possible for commissions to take care of everything, or the commissions committees may not even want to matter managing all of the aspects of the operation. So those currently, some you know, those projects will not be not in there, and there's lots of them. You know, for stop signs, for example, paper markings, and RFBs, which are you know, the new stop flashers, and DFBs, the driving feedback signs. However, though, there's some desire, maybe bring that to this commission. You know, I definitely see some merits on that, as it creates a more transparent process, and the public can have a better platform to provide inputs. So those are all good. Actually, you know, before this was brought up, traffic engineering and city engineering put together a team of staff. We worked on improvement process. And it used to be, you know, the decision just, you know, by, you know, very few individuals make those decisions where to make improvements. But we get, you know, more requests than what we can handle each year, so we have to prioritize. To improve that process, the team was formed, and we developed a new process with consideration of transportation operations, safety, and equity. So we identified many factors within those three categories, and we rank each project, and we prioritize them that way. And that decision was made by this kind of staff committee. instead of by just one or two person staff members. So we feel like that's a pretty good process. We also did equity analysis of that process. So we feel definitely that's a lot of improvement. So whether we bring that a step further to make those decisions of this transplanting commission, I guess we'll look into it. We are setting up some meetings on that. We already had one discussion with our chair and also Alder Foster. We also had a conversation with the attorney's office talking about that. So there are definitely a pros and a cons. So we talked all about the pros, more transparency, and also actually take the burden away from staff making those decisions. The commission can take the hit of public complaint, why do improvements on their street, not my street? However, though, there are also lots of concerns as well. I just list a few. As we go, we can discuss some more, but I can list clearly a few. One is we add a lot more work to this account, to this body. We already have quite long meetings sometimes, and also it adds time for staff to respond to things. So when we have to respond to something, instead of the staff make decision, get it done, we have to come back to the commission for approval. I'm working with the RT teams. They are concerned about this as well. As you know,
with what
NRT, Neighborhood Resource Team. Yeah. So their concern is that these underserved areas, typically the residents, would not have resources or even the knowledge goes to this body to make their case. Mm. So the voice we hear from here might be skewed. And, actually we have been collaborating with NRT this year because traditionally we get a lot of requests from certain neighborhoods, but very few from other neighborhoods. Those are mostly in the NRT areas. We actually be very active, like my staff went out to the NRT meetings and went to neighborhoods. So meet with them, talk with them to see what projects they need, what improvements they need to see to make for them. And we generate a lot of ideas for projects from that way, and we were able to add them to the list. And I'm happy to report that we're actually going to do quite a few projects because of that process. Otherwise, it would not probably happen because there's no one coming to talk to the city staff to request it all the time. So
that was outreach that you did.
Correct. That's outreach that the staff did, yeah. Mm-hmm. So right now we feel like we already did a lot of improvement process. We feel pretty good about it. And we're thinking about bringing that to the commission. We'll do an informational presentation for the commission and get some inputs on that.
Yeah. And that's on our work plan. You would have noticed that is.
That's correct. That's included in our work plan. Mm-hmm. However, though, we can continue to talk about the possibility of going a step further, bring those decisions in front of this commission. So what we're going to do tonight is that we just look at a small portion of those projects that happen to be in the contract. So I discussed with Tom and Jerry from the TE staff, and they will just quickly go over some of the projects. There are many of them, so we'll probably not spend too much time on it because it's already a long meeting. But if the commission members have any questions or need more information or any suggestions, please let us know. Also, I want to stress that this is only a small portion of the projects we do, and obviously maybe even less than 10% of the projects we do. There are lots of other projects we didn't include in this contract because those will be handled by city crews or including some other contracts. So with that, Tom, you want to get started?
Sorry.
Yes.
I have a good question just before we start that might inform a little bit. So I'm just curious, it seems like you guys are going with the continental style crosswalks everywhere. And is that just a choice for the city overall? And then can you also tell us what you're specifying for the material for the crosswalks? I don't know if it's thermoplastic or paint, And then I noticed that for a lot of the bike-specific accommodations, it is thermoplastic, and is that just a choice for longevity because it's harder to maintain those? So anyway, if you can just maybe kind of hit on some of that as you go through this, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah, maybe general answer your question. No, we are not going for continental style everywhere.
Okay.
We only do that at the select locations because those are, one, more costly to install and maintain.
Okay.
Two, we want to reserve it for locations that really need help. If we put it everywhere, then it starts to lose effectiveness.
Okay.
And materials, we use different kind of materials, but for now we mostly use epoxy.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. But the staff can talk a little bit more about that as well. Also talking about why we decide to use this style for crosswalk. There actually we look at these different requests. We had quite a few meetings with staff team. One meeting is to sit down to review all the requests and to see what's appropriate. And we reference different guidelines. One is the federal guideline called the STEP. It actually use different criteria for different treatments. Some roadways warrants a high visibility style crosswalk like this. And we also reference some other cities is doing, for example, Boulder, Colorado is the one city that we have looked at. And we're also developing our own guidelines. So maybe in a couple of years, we'll start have our own guidelines as well. If no further questions, I will ask Tom to kick off or Jerry to kick off the kind of quick presentation.
Go for it, you guys.
Jerry Shippa, traffic engineering.
Tom Moore, traffic engineering.
just starting into this, this first one is pavement marking improvements at Atwood and Elmstead, upgrading from just a 2 white stripe to a continental.
Yeah, can you talk into the mic a little
bit? Sorry. So this is Atwood and Elmside, improving the pavement markings from 2 white stripes to continental crosswalks.
Yep, and then we get to the speed humps that I brought here earlier this year. Nothing has changed here, so.
Okay.
This is at Crystal and Diamond. Received some complaints from the neighborhood that crossing Crystal during the PM peak was difficult. Again, going through the process, upgrading the pavement markings and actually adding a marked crosswalk on that north side that doesn't exist today. So the south side goes from 2 white stripes to continental. The north side goes from nothing to continental.
Can I ask a question of any three of you? Is there research that shows that drivers actually respond differently to that marking than just 2 stripes going across?
Yeah. Yes.
There is?
Yeah, it's a proven, yeah.
Okay. And like you said before then, but you have to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Differently.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Now, from a rural perspective in Wisconsin, regardless of whether somebody's in that marking or in just 2 lines.
Or no marking.
Well, I just want to get down to the 2 marking. If somebody steps off the curb, what's the rules of traffic? You have to stop, right?
That's a great question. Actually, there's quite a lot of misinformation flowing around that. In terms of legality, it's the same. The law treats them the same. No matter what style they are, it's a crosswalk. It's marked a crosswalk. So both the pedestrians and the drivers has to react the same way. The difference really is this is more visible and thus grabs more attention from the drivers. Actually, as you drive, the 2 lines really becomes not very visible. But these vertical bars, really stands out.
The only reason I'm saying is, whether you're listening at a supper club or a bar or coffee after church, there's a lot of people who think there's one rule for that and another rule for the other one, and that they only really need to stop at these.
Oh, interesting.
No, as I mentioned, those are misinformation, and those are misinformation quite popular, unfortunately. Yeah, we need to do better education to the public that, you know, these are all the same.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's not just the public.
The professionals as well?
Well, I know from walking my dog, when we step into a crosswalk, people barely even, I mean, they don't even slow down.
Yeah.
You know, we have to pay attention because they, and then there are some people who stop before we even, well, we're not sitting on the sidewalk and let us go.
Okay. You
know, but most people don't even pay any attention to the crosswalk. So.
It was a tangent, but I just, I was just curious.
Well, it's a safety issue, and it's one that I think, I don't know how we better communicate, and that was one we could talk with the police department about, because it's a safety issue. It really is a safety issue. So maybe that's one that we could focus on.
I was going to bring this up at some point anyway, and now's a great segue, and I'm sorry. For just a second. So that gets back to, in fact, there's a blog post from the Madison Police Department. You might be aware of it, where they are completely misinformed on this subject, and they are wrong. And
the police is blogging about this?
About crosswalks and stop signs, and and it's been up since March, I think. And so I thought by now it might be down, but it's still down. It's still up.
Yeah, for that specific incident, we did reach out to our colleagues at the police department, and we gave them advice that's not correct. But it's just blocked. So, we asked them to change it. Yeah, we'll looking to see if it's still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, so moving along, this is Dutch Mill and Elstad. There's a bus stop on the south side of the street. This project is going to add, first it's going to convert the road from a four-lane road to a two-way left-turn lane road, a twiddle, one lane in each direction with a center left-turn lane from roughly Elstad to agriculture. But this slide is showing the crosswalk from the bus stop on the south to kind of the neighborhood to the north.
Yeah, there is this one. I want to say a few things. This one, there is a trailer park, mobile home park near here, and there are kids cross street over here to go to bus stop frequently. And it's right now it's a four-lane roadway without any protection in the middle. And people are driving pretty fast over here, so it has been very difficult. We tried to get this done for quite a few years now, but no one is asking for us to do it. No one is pushing it, so we haven't been able to get it done. But this year, because of the new process, we're able to get funding to do this. So we're doing, the $9 roadway, biking bike lanes. It's a proper bike lanes, and we're building the island. So we think it will be very helpful to the kids across the street up here.
So this is a location that came out of one of those neighborhood resource teams. This is, I believe this one, yeah. So the next two slides are kind of the two intersections you see. They just are the different crossings. So this is South Gammon Road and Gammon Lane. We studied New Washburn Way and Gammon Road for a signal earlier, and it did not meet warrant. So we looked at adding a rectangular rapid flashing beacon at one of these two intersections. And this crossing that's shown with the continental pavement markings had the best visibility from cars in both directions. So we are adding continental crosswalks to the crossing you see there. And currently there are no other pavement markings for the other crosswalks, so those are getting the two white lines. And then just to the south of that, the same with New Washburn Way and Gammon Road. No pavement markings. We're adding the crosswalk markings. Gorham and Butler upgrading the two white lines to Continental. This is North High Point Road, just north of Old Sauk, adding a center refuge island and adding a continental crosswalk.
Just on that last one, is that a fairly typical kind of zigzag in the island there, or is that
for being able to stage?
Yeah, so that's it's kind of a way to get people to naturally kind of turn and look at the traffic that's coming at them.
And is it all at grade there? I'm my question is really focused around snow removal. These are tend to be some of the more problematic where they get filled in with snow, and then they're, my question is, has anybody that would be responsible for maintaining it looked at it, and that, any issues with that for this design?
That I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure on the history of this one.
It might be worth just running past, I don't know, parks or engineering, whoever normally is clearing these sorts of things, and making sure that they feel, because it also, it sort of depends on their equipment and all those sorts of things, but I know it's a real problem for winter ped access is these islands. While they're really nice and helpful, having them get filled back in. The other thing is, I was talking with both parks and engineering about this. There's some broader issues, but it sounds like there may not be a great process right now when these get added, that they're even getting communicated about that. So then sometimes they'll get put in, and the winter will come, and they'll have to receive complaints from people saying, hey, they're not getting shoveled. So that might be a kind of a process thing that needs to be looked into or addressed.
These are speed humps on Lake Point Drive.
Yeah, we saw this one already, right?
Yep. This is Midtown at Woods. We've just had complaints about the high speeds on Midtown. This is an area that's getting more development, so we're going to remove the existing pavement markings, install continental crosswalks and islands on either side of Woods Road, and then...
Can I ask a question about this one? Yeah. So this is Midtown's obviously a really popular road bike route. Are you removing the bike lanes?
No, the bike lanes are staying in. Actually, this is, I think that's an old design.
I think the lanes are, doesn't it look like the lane is still there?
Well, it looks like the lane's there now.
The gray ones are like the new line.
But the gray is the new line, right? And you just said removing pavement markings. And so I just wanted to.
It looks like this is actually an old design. You can faintly see the existing pavement markings with the bike lanes.
Yep.
It's going to look basically like that.
Okay, so the bike lanes are staying.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I wanted to confirm. Thanks.
Oh, and one more thing about this one. We had planned for a bus stop pad, concrete pad on the southeast corner, but due to the grade difference between the sidewalk and the street, I think we're going to push that off to next year, have a more detailed survey and engineering work to get that installed next year.
And as a note says, it will also receive a rectangular rapid flashing beacon. So this project actually was recently removed from the traffic calming project and is going to be performed in-house. This is, I'll just go through it. This is Milwaukee at Wallbridge. Another intersection that was on the traffic signal priority list due to complaints for pedestrians having a hard time crossing the road and even drivers off the side street. So what we're looking at here is installing temporary bollards and making some pavement marking changes between the service road and the interstate ramp, or not the interstate, 151 ramps. And what this is going to do is kind of simulate, if we took out that right turn lane, how would things operate? We have an existing bus stop that we had to kind of accommodate, so it kind of looks like two bump outs, and that's just so the existing route can service board passengers at its pad. It's just to simulate what would happen if that right turn lane were removed and you know, depending on what we see, might kind of opens up a few other designs that we don't have solidified right now. But that's so that's that location.
So when you put up a temporary bollard, do you then send people out there to observe how people are actually interacting with that and make decisions as far as what you're going to do on temporary later on?
Yeah, I think we would follow up with site visits. When I was out there for the signal, do the signal requests, that was one of the things I noticed was that right turn lane, even during the PM peak where you'd expect a lot of, like, people going back home, was, if I remember correctly, like 4% of the traffic was turning right. So it's really, I don't think we expect to see a lot of issues, but we'll receive feedback from Metro. And yeah, probably make a follow-up visit.
Okay.
These are more speed humps on North Star Drive.
This is Odana and Sego. This was a location that was on previous year's list to kind of improve, but I think we just ran out of money during those years, so we pushed it off to this year. Median islands are going to be added on both sides of the intersection, as well as adding continental crosswalks, then adding a bike crossing in the southbound direction from the buffered bike lanes, and then there's a little bit of curb work on that north west corner to kind of bump that curb out a little bit. And it will also get an RFB on the west side. Lake Court and Olin, this is just north of the pool off Olin, improving the crosswalk from two white stripes to continental. Packers and Schlemgen, this intersection was years ago studied for a traffic signal, didn't meet warrant for any of the warrants. So we installed a rectangular rapid flashing beacon and did some after studies. We are just, we're keeping everything as is except for the pavement markings going from two white lines to continental crosswalk. Schrader and Hathaway, continental crosswalk and a rectangular rapid flashing beacon. So this is another project that was taken off of this contract and put on another, the northbound South Park Street resurfacing project or patch project. But we're realigning the crosswalk at Beld to be more in line with the crosswalk here. So it's more of a straight shot instead of, you can tell it kind of like angles up to this little tiny nose and then angles back down. This will be a straight shot across with continental crosswalks, an RFB and yield lines and yield here to pedestrians. And this also came out of the NRT.
So the light gray version on the northbound, is that existing or is it not recommended or what is
that? No, that's so this one at one point was part of three separate projects, which it all got moved to just one project and our city crews. So originally the northbound lanes were going to be handled by an engineering project, and then we were going to use what you're seeing here as part of this project. So that's why we're highlighting to tell the contractor of this project that this is all you have to do. Oh. The Gray Continental is kind of going to be done by someone else. But that was all taken apart, taken out, and the pavement markings will be done when the northbound Park Street is worked on, if that makes sense.
And then in terms of the RFB here, so this is a kind of a very useful bike route, and that crossing by bike is very difficult as well. I wonder if there's any opportunity to think through that, how a person on a bike would, that's going to be sort of a tough navigation to get there. I don't know if there's a way to get a secondary button for that crossing or
extension or something.
That's a really challenging crossing, and I just worry that the way that it where it is going to be tough to get. So basically, it'd be like coming south on Beld, and you want to cross Park. It looks like a really good improvement. Is there any way to take advantage of that for the bike crossing movement as well, I guess, is the question.
We can consider adding another remote button by the curbside so the bikes can push the button. We will look into that. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking about the both directions or just one direction would be most beneficial? One from come from Bow Street?
Yeah, I'm thinking this way is the...
South Mount, okay. Yeah, we'll look into it.
Because there's a light for the other direction. There's a light one block south that you could use.
Uh-huh.
But here it's
okay.
Really get there.
Yeah, we can look into the possibility of that.
Thanks.
So this is kind of the same exact story. This is just one block south of that previous location. The grade is just because that was going to be handled by a different contractor, and this location was also pulled from this contract, and that's just upgrading pavement markings from the two white lines to Continental.
These are speed humps on State Street. Kind of discussing this with with Metro.
Yeah, so this one actually may go back to this commission. The commission already approved this one, and right now there's some concerns about the bus operation as Metro was not able to think out the stops. So this may add time to Route 3, which already have a on-time challenge. So this one may come back to the commission at a later date to revisit.
This is East Washington and Schmiedemann. Quick Trip on the kind of upper left corner of the drawing there. Upgrading from two white lines to Continental. Williamson and Dickinson, right now that intersection has two white lines with kind of fading red paint in the middle between the lines. That's the two white lines are going to be removed, and then Continental crosswalks added to that. And then City Crews are adding a rectangular rapid flashing beacon on the west side, kind of utilizing existing streetlight poles and overhead signs. Gilman and Wisconsin. So this complaint was drivers coming from kind of the Lake Mendota heading towards the Capitol down the hill. Speeding complaints and not seeing pedestrians is kind of a wide crossing, adding two bump outs on the south side of the intersection.
So we have we're trying out this year for the first time some of these green dashes through intersections across streets for bike facilities, and we're using preformed green high friction thermoplastic material, which is kind of easier to install. So they set down these 2-foot by 3-foot sheets and then basically put a big heater over it, melt it together. We just recently tried out the first installation on University at Park Street. So this is a couple of different areas that we're adding into this contract. So this is Proudfit at Main Street for crossing Proudfit. And then out in the outer loop, Fairchild at Hamilton and Doty. Gorman, Wisconsin. And Johnson in Wisconsin. And then these are kind of some, the Gorham in Hamilton is a left turn kind of bike box for turning from Gorham onto Hamilton. And then through the Butler Hamilton intersection on East Johnson Street. And then this is at Johnson and Baldwin. To get from Johnson onto the path. That is the last project.
A weird one.
A new
Yeah. Okay.
You have a question, Bridget?
Just going back to the crosswalk markings, I just wanted to confirm that when the new crosswalks, the markings are going in, any curb requirements and ramp requirements and detectable warning devices would be taken care of at the same time?
I think for all these locations, those are already...
They're all in place? Okay.
I don't think, or there maybe are a couple that we're adding ramps.
So typically, when we improve crosswalks, we call it with engineering, who is responsible for the ramps. So typically, we call it with them. We do this, we want them to make improvements as well. So I would say 99% of the time, that's the case. But occasionally, there's some very challenging locations that they don't have the grade.
Yeah.
Do ADA compliant crosswalk.
Yeah.
Or ramp. If that's the case, we have to decide whether we're going to do the improvement or not. Some cases we decide to wait until engineer has a bigger project to fix the ADA issue. But sometimes just because we got so many users, we thought even though it's not ADA compliant, it still makes sense for us to make improvements. One example is we did one at Edward Avenue and Scott, so in front of the Barrymore Theater.
Yeah.
So right now, those one of the one side does not even have a ramp, so it's
right.
Just a curve. We still went ahead to do the marking change and we installed an RFV to help people cross street. It's not ADA compliant. And it's very difficult for engineering to make it ADA compliant because there is only that much right away city owns. You can see sometimes those things do happen. We still make a minor choice to move ahead. Even though it's not ADA compliant, we still benefit other people. But eventually, we like to make all of them ADA compliant.
I just put in a plug for keeping in mind that, people have different, mobility issues. And so even if something can't be grade-wise made completely compliant, that things like detectable warning devices are still worthwhile.
Okay. So this was just a review item. This is just a taste of some of the things that wouldn't normally come before us. So as we talk about the process, we'll have better familiarity with some of those smaller projects.
I'm getting back to what I had raised before.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we could put on the agenda, or this is a suggestion for the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering if Chuck Camp could tell us whether or not the city could do a public education thing on the back of buses. Because all this marking, without what does this marking mean,
yeah,
doesn't really help. If people are still blowing through, and my fear is,
yeah,
they blow through the double stripe, and once we get to a critical mass of the new stripe,
yeah,
they'll start blowing through that.
Yeah.
And if you have police saying it's not, you know what I mean? And then, but you can't, how do you educate people? Well, the only people you really need to educate are the people who drive behind buses in the city. You know what I mean? So, and by that I mean, if you just did it for city residents, then you'd have a whole bunch of people visiting who say, I never heard of that before, and they're going through. I mean, it has to be something that is on an ongoing basis and is right on the streets that you're driving that says this is what traffic markings mean.
Well, in addition to that, I think some of the bike markings are puzzling to – I can't bike now because of physical reasons, but I when the first bike box or whatever they're called, I didn't know what the protocol was for that. And then you have some streets where there are one way where you have a mini bike lane with a bike – no one's been educated, at least, maybe it's more my responsibility to figure that out. But I think along your same lines, if we could help the public
you're saying?
Yeah, maybe we'd have a little bit safer community.
I mean, probably only the people who are taking driver's ed within the last 2 years know what all the,
the
markings are, because the rest of us, we get our eyes examined, and they give us another, but they don't tell us, here's what we've done in the last 10 years as far as road marking and what you're supposed to do.
I maybe this could go on that same list of potential items for TPPB, and this being kind of traffic calming program more broadly. So this is an item I've heard a ton from my constituents around just a lot of confusion with the current program, and there's like a very specific kind of application process on the one hand that sort of connected with the speed humps pieces, but then a lot of what we've seen today, I think the reality is there's a very big toolkit of markings, signage, RFBs, speed humps, curb changes. There's a lot of tools that the traffic engineers and engineers are using to make improvements, and right now it feels like those aren't necessarily all connected, or certainly not for the public. And so I think it's a topic that maybe I would like to recommend that TPPB might take up in terms of looking at our overall traffic calming program and what is that process, and should it potentially change. And then the other thing that I think might be useful for this body is maybe just an overview on some of these interventions, and kind of to your point, I think there is...
Toolbox?
Well, so I think there's like evidence out there that says, you know, what's the difference in compliance between two lines, zebras, putting caution signs up, putting RFBs, and as you kind of do more things incrementally, you get better compliance, even separate from the education piece. Mm-hmm. So that might be helpful as we're looking at these to have
the effectiveness of the measures.
Correct. Yep. And, I mean, that's something that'd be, I think, easily
when we talk
to
about the toolbox. Will we understand the effectiveness of the measures
we'll
as well?
Talk about that.
Okay. Okay. Did you want to come up?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you want to come up, Captain? Did you have something to say? I'm noting all these things down under future topics for me or for policy board.
So I'll just mention a couple of sentences. The pedestrian fatalities have been on a dramatic rise over the last 2 years. And this is a national trend, not just a – I don't know if – I'm going to say that Madison hasn't necessarily experienced it, but the nation as a whole has. It's become such a factor that the FHWA leaned heavily into trying to address it. And they came up with a program. It's called the STEP program, which gives a table of treatments. It is quickly becoming standardized. In fact, I would expect it to be, it's quickly becoming standardized. It's being used by Tool, all these other firms. Tom Huber helped develop a portion of it, and he gave a presentation of it at the mayor's conference. And it would be very easy for us to show this here, because rather than, you know, we can develop our own standards, but FHWA has more money and resources. So, I do know that Jerry, in looking through a lot of these.
That's one of the references we used when we developed this.
Yeah.
But we went beyond that. We also look at the what the other cities did, like Boulder, Colorado.
So, so that's that.
Yeah, STEP, yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, lots of good suggestions. Okay, so thank you very much. Appreciate you guys coming and walking through these smaller
welcome
projects.
For the opportunity to come up for a cookie.
You see about a meeting.
Tom's getting his exercise today. He just keeps walking from the back of the room. Okay, next on our agenda, we have the topics for the Joint Transportation Commission, Transportation Policy and Planning Board. Number six, update on transportation ordinances, really was a much more expanded concept, and Grant had mentioned it earlier, and Tom had mentioned it, to review the specific function or mission of each of the bodies, and not just the policy board and the commission, but also transportation department and staff. So that will likely move up on the agenda because of John Strange's schedule. So any other topics that aren't on here that
you
feel that we should add to the agenda?
They're coming to you.
Bridget?
Yeah, just can you just amend number five to read, so update on electric bicycle and other related legislation. There's some electric scooter legislation that could potentially be impacted by some other weird bills that are floating around.
Okay. Electric scooters, huh?
I know, man.
Just keep coming.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll stop in at AM.
Any other suggestions? Pass the cookies around. Make sure, Tom and Tom, make sure you get some cookies here. Okay. And yet, now they're all with me, so don't keep them here, guys. All right, I'll have one. I was going to say I can't eat because I'm talking. Any other topics you want to add? Are we good? I think we have a pretty good agenda to talk about. One thing that I would like to ask is because we are going to need to have a Transportation Commission meeting, we would like to schedule it before the joint meeting, and rather than starting it at 4 and starting the joint meeting at 5, we were contemplating starting our Transportation Commission meeting at 4:30 and then the joint meeting at 5:30, so that would mean we'd move it up a half an hour. Patrick's obviously going to have to check on the room availability. Does that work for people if we move it up a half an hour?
Maybe that's on the 10th of July.
10th of July.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So why don't we shoot for that? And Patrick, if you can check on the room and then let people know and maybe adjust the invitation to move it to 4:30 so people block the time. Okay. All right. Great. Anything else on that? Okay. Then Transportation Commission webpage. You know, we talk about the website. What we're really talking about is a web page, even though we call it a website. But it as it's explained to me, it would just be one page, and all of our links would be sitting there for people to see and to access on this tool. There will be links, but there will also be documents posted. Our handbook will be posted here. Our work plan will be posted here. Toward the end of on page 3, you can see like the Neighborhood Traffic Management Program. We did, was it Tom? You did a really good summary of that program. So we post that there. So a new commission member goes, well, what the heck is the Neighborhood Traffic Management Program? You can go to the website. You can click on it. You have that available to you. So we'll take advantage of things that are posted already, like Madison in Motion has a great site already. The Racial Equity and Social Justice Initiative has a great link already. So we're going to take advantage of existing links, and we're going to add the resources, like the toolbox. You know, that will be added here once we get through with, once that's finalized and we have that available. So just wanted to, we're not asking for approval tonight. Just wanted to, number one, we're now giving you all these links. So you have a document that has all these links in it if you want to go check any of them out. And we're certainly interested, if you have any feedback, let us know. Maybe send it to Patrick or Yang. Then if we send it to staff, then we won't worry about any open meetings violation. But if you have any other ideas for links that aren't there, that would be helpful to add, or documents that aren't there that would be helpful to add. So work in process, but we just wanted to update you on that. Gary, did you have anything to add on that?
No.
Or Grant, you were at the meeting as well? Okay. Yang?
Just update. We have a staff member at Traffic Engineering. He's working on the webpage.
Is that Becky?
That's Becky.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she came to our last meeting, so.
Yeah.
We have a person assigned. Yay! Any other comments on that? Okay. So, our warm weather tour. So, Yang, remind me. So, we're talking about a downtown location because Sabrina wants to do one of the downtown ramps. Sixth Street Capitol?
That's one possible choice.
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then either 10 a.m. or 2 p.m.
Yeah, those are preferred time for staff.
Yes.
On any days, yeah. 10 a.m.
Any workday at either 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. So before we start working on dates, does 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. work better for you guys?
Just depends on the day.
Depends on the day. Generally speaking, any preference? Or should we just pick some 10 a.m.s and some 2 p.m.s and shoot them out there?
Yep.
Okay. All right. All right. We'll do some sort of a doodle poll on that. Okay.
That's my
Okay. All right. Ken, you want to update us on the...
We have the taxi permit was denied. We are going to have an appeal hearing on Monday, June 24th at 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. Ann will join me, and Michael will join me, and the three of us will conduct that hearing.
Is this a permanent subcommittee? I guess I missed the...
It is not.
Okay.
No, the last one was Bill and Ken, and...
Yeah, I wasn't here, and I didn't know the structure would be the same as previous years where you find three people, one of them has to be an alder. Is that the...
Oh, I get to appoint it each and every time is what the ordinance says.
Okay. Very good.
So, and it has to consist of an alder, the chair of the commission or my designee, and then a member of the commission.
We're very much like the old ordinance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. Yeah, it still says transportation. It still says transit and parking commission, but John said we can substitute transportation commission.
Very good.
So we'll update. So we should put that on the agenda at our next meeting for after that 24th to have an update on that. Update at the next meeting. Oh, Grant, our crossover report.
Yep, we adopted amendments to the Ratman neighborhood and Pumpkin Hollow neighborhood development plan. So that's out by AmFam land going towards Sun Prairie. Plan recommendations are to add some additional streets to chop up the really large blocks that are out there and just have a little bit better scale of a development, as well as a new connection to the highway out there. We talked a little bit about the staff team that is working on an analysis of our parking strategies,
mm-hmm.
and kind of gave some feedback that the TPPB would like to be kind of stay in close contact with that group and get regular updates. So that's a parking strategy, particularly around development and impact on neighborhoods when new developments are coming in, what we should be requiring for parking from developers, et cetera. We got an update on the BRT. Is everybody kind of up to speed on that? Or
they come here quarterly or semi-annually for updates as well.
Perfect. Transit X has been something, I can't remember if he's come here probably. So good. It was really, staff did a nice analysis of that and recommended that we do not pursue that at this time and that we focus on BRT.
Yeah, we referred that to the policy board.
Yeah, we dealt with it there. And there's a discussion of the winter shared use path maintenance. So I'm working with parks and engineering staff on a budget amendment for this coming year to expand winter maintenance of our shared use paths to include the weekends and holidays. So right now that's just a Monday to Friday activity. And if it snows Friday night, just stays there till Monday. So we're working to address that, and hopefully we can get some support for that really important budget amendment. And that's it.
Okay. Thank you.
have a quick question of Grant. So was there any discussion, the LAB bike-friendly applications are coming due soon. My understanding is that the city is looking at doing like a, not necessarily a collaborative application, but working with surrounding communities to apply to try to kind of raise everyone up. Is that something that you guys talked about?
We didn't talk about there. I'm sure Renee Calloway could give a good update on that. She was working on the kind of platinum group, and I'm looking at diamond, I think. So, yeah, I mean, she, that might be another, I don't know if that's good for this group or not, but she would probably be the one that has the, but it, I mean, it, I know they have done that in the past as well, starting to try and collaborate with Sun Prairie and Fitchburg and others to kind of, yeah, get everybody to raise their level to the highest that it can be.
Okay, so what was the topic? I'm sorry. I have, just so you guys know, I'm getting a new hearing aid next Monday. So instead of having to ask you to repeat yourself so often, hopefully I won't have to.
Bike friendly.
Do I have your old one?
I don't have one now. I wish.
Just an update on bike friendly application status.
Okay.
It might release working on that application.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, it's due in a few months, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The 80 pages.
Update on bike-friendly application status.
Yeah. And that's that right? For the League of American Bicyclists.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, I think we've been covering the future agenda items very well here. I've got a list of a lot of them. Any other future agenda topics that we haven't covered? Something that... I can tell you what I mean we've hit on the items for the upcoming meeting in July. Our organizational meeting, election of the chair and the vice chair, Safe Route to Schools presentation, analysis of the 2017 crash report, our tools once we get our new members on. So we have a running list. I am not certain that we'll need to have a meeting on June 26th. There is a council meeting next Tuesday, so we won't. We'll know probably by Friday if there's something that will be referred to us when the agenda comes out.
I've already gotten an agenda from the clerk's office, but I haven't had a chance to look at it.
Okay. So we'll know for our agenda meeting next week. So if we find that we don't have anything because of the length of the meeting that we have tonight and the length that we're going to have on the 10th, I'll probably recommend that we cancel that meeting. Grant?
Maybe it's just another potential future one, but it's connected with the crash report, just thinking about the conversations we've had with the MPD and
yes.
the
mm-hmm.
board. So maybe at some point a kind of an update of, I think you're working, Yang, with them and maybe giving us a report of kind of what ideas there are for different and better collaboration, and then what we might be expecting in terms of an update that may be more sort of safety focused and less activity focused in terms of MPD.
Yeah, and that's exactly some of the things we were talking about today. I mean, you know, that whole crosswalk issue is one of my personal pet peeves. You know, I mean, the zillions of people who pay absolutely no attention to the fact that my dog and I are in the crosswalk, you know. Certainly something that we can talk on. What's that? Well, they do pay more attention to the dog than me. I will tell you that for sure. they do. Can't tell you how many of my neighbors know my dog's name, but not mine. But anyway, so we'll add. So we have that on the agenda in terms of how to work on that, and that's something that Yang will come back and report to us because they want to bring ideas back to us and present them. Something that's going to work better for the police department so they're not reporting on things that, you know, we can't do anything about and, you know, really focus on those things that we can do something about. So any other topics?
Yeah, for that one, I also had some conversation with the Vision Zero engineer in city and county of Denver, talking about how do they collaborate with their police department
mm-hmm.
On improving safety. So it sounds like it's a challenging everywhere, but I guess we did learn a few things from them, and As mentioned, we'll work with the police department at some point. I was thinking about maybe getting some of the commission members to a staff meeting as well. So we'll work on that.
Okay. Good. Any other future agenda topics?
Better cookies.
One of these times I'll actually bake you cookies. How's that? Okay. All right. I think we might be at the end of the meeting.
Move to adjourn.
Okay. Motion and a second. All those in favor? Okay. Thanks, everybody. We worked through a lot.